We're live. With ACG, Abzi always has to ask that every time.
I do. Like, I need to know, man. I can't say.
Dude, what do you hold back? Let's be honest.
Nothing. Everything.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here. And more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Okay.
Nothing at all.
Nothing. I'm a very edgy person.
I'm here with Johnny.
I'd be canceled.
Johnny, Abzi, Silver and Reg, and the lovely, well, what do we call it? Senior writer. One of the senior writers at Gearbox. We'll say it that
correct.
Way.
Yeah.
Currently.
Yeah.
Jordan L., who was nice enough to join our podcast. As you guys know, we've had a couple people from Gearbox on, and I was thanking everybody for coming on because a lot of people have done spectacular work coming on the podcast, talking about games, talking about what they love. Our job sort of to introduce you to them and not to the rigmarole that exists in the gaming world, too much at least, unless we're talking about VRR on the PlayStation. And so we decided to have him on. He was like, hey, let's jump in here. It's going to be good. We've got some other people coming on in the next couple weeks. And I want to give a shout out to a complete poet, one of the best music writers in the world, Freddie Mercury, who also was clairvoyant when he wrote We Are the Champions for this podcast. I just want to say thank you very much.
Thank you, Freddie Mercury.
Thank you, Freddie Mercury. You've I just watched the movie. Did you guys watch the one with Rami Malek? Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah. I have not.
No.
It's enjoyable, man. It's like it was a lot of sort of behind the scenes of what you expect, but there was actually some stuff in there that was pretty heartfelt that I wasn't expecting that I really liked. Yeah. We're going to talk about games. We've got stuff from Warhammer, we've got stuff from Devolver Digital, we've got stuff from Square. We're going to talk about Square selling off their devs. We're going to talk about Outriders not making money. And we're going to talk about games. And probably have an eclectic life question that makes no sense until I fix it for Johnny.
Hell yeah. All like right. The pinky, if you were born with a pinky
my God.
On your neck.
What was that? If you were born, what was that?
How would you perform oral sex if you have a pinky?
No. That wasn't the question.
That wasn't
the question. The question
your significant
was, your
other
significant
would
other
have
could,
a pinky
but would not age.
Somewhere.
And would on be healed no- of all illnesses.
Yeah. I'd lick it. Okay, let's just move on.
Let's move on.
Yes, let's talk about Outriders. Wow. It didn't make money, right?
Hold on, you gave me a new game idea. I'll be right
yeah.
back.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, okay. Abzi apparently was doing too much testosterone before he showed up. He's just he's like he's all sweaty and
I'm pumping dude. I'm pumping.
But we do want to thank you for showing up and you know, I do let everybody pimp what they're working on, but as we said, you know, most stuff's NDA. Is there anything that you do though that you know, maybe it's on the outside. Maybe it's a hobby or something like that, Jordan, that you want to talk about. Do you have a website? Anything like that? If you don't, it's fine. But I always...
God, if only. No, you can just follow me on Twitter because I'm addicted to it and spend far too much time on there.
You do.
So
bad.
You do.
I'm just always bad. On there. Yeah, it's not good.
What's your handle so people have
it's
it?
It's Jordan Anomaly. Like, I combine my name and Anomaly because that's clever.
Nice.
Honestly, just go to ACG's Twitter and he tagged me in it in his earlier tweet. So that's easier.
Yep. Definitely follow him. Like I said, we're trying to get people on here who are sort of, you know, not on a bunch of podcasts and want to talk about games and not be, you know, we're not super into the politics kind. So it's nice to have him on. Let's jump into what we've been playing first so that we can sort of get an idea because some of these games we're going to talk about are in the news. So Jordan, you're the guest, man. Do you have anything you've been playing?
All right. I always play a lot of games at once. And then since I got the Steam Deck, that's like increased. So the ones I've played, at least within the last 2 days, are Kingdom Come Deliverance, Lego Skywalker Saga, good. Kakarot, Switch Sports, Dwarf Romantic, Rogue Legacy 2, Vampire Survivors. And I play this mobile game that's New Japan Pro Wrestling that uses like FMV footage, like for it, and you like train up wrestlers and fight them.
Yeah,
I played like 100 hours of that so far. It got me into NGPW. It's great. That's it. So I think like 8 games right now.
That's only 8 games at once. Do you multi-box or is it just like
Yeah, just I have ADHD, so I just hop from thing
same,
to thing.
Same. Yeah,
whatever energy pulls you. Dude, exactly. Full motion video, we talked for about an hour last week. I did, not that you're saying you'd love full motion video now, but I've never really had an issue with it. And I did, She Sees Red last week. Found out that the contradiction detective from my favorite FMV of all time has actually done 2 more games, which I was completely surprised about. Yeah, dude, FMV actually works, but I didn't know there was a wrestling game. I'll have to check that. I'd never heard of it.
It's great.
That's awesome. Let's see, Abzi.
I'm playing a bunch of games too. There's Rogue Legacy 2, which is good roguelike. I found a game that was an indie game of the week like last year called Ender Lilies. And it's shaping up to be one of my favorite Metroidvanias of all time. It's really, really fucking good. You play like Ender a little girl. Ender Lilies. Yeah, you play a little girl and you have spirits that fight for you. It's pretty charming, actually, with incredible music. And I've been playing Neo 2 co-op, which I have, dude, that Neo 2 in co-op made the game just so much better for me. It's just such a fun game and definitely one of the best co-op experiences I've had recently. I think that is it. I'm still playing through Tales of Arise. I made it to like the 4th region or something. And I think that's pretty much it. Some Vampire Survivors, some, you know, other roguelikes. Yeah.
Dude, Neo 2. Oh, well, Neo 2 is still, I still think it's got the best combat in any
great game, dude.
Yeah, it has the best combat in Souls likes, hands down.
Yeah, and then when you do co-op, yeah, you're just like,
So I have like the fist weapons and he has tonfas, so we're just two people just like fucking hammering, running around, and like just we have like these crazy combos that go like under and over people and stuff. It just feels really good, you know, just, you know, get the dopamine.
Yeah. It also really helps that they don't really restrict the co-op like Dark Souls.
No,
Dark Souls.
Do not. So
it's easier to get into.
They have a really good system. When you play in co-op, it's more of like kind of an Iron Man mode where you have like a bar that decreases every time someone dies. And then if that bar depletes, it's game over. You can either continue or restart the mission. They increase enemy count. And for some reason, as opposed to other Souls games, the bosses and enemies feel like they're better. They handle two people better than other Souls games usually do.
You mean they switch up the pattern for crowd control versus single
attack? No, they just, I don't know, but something about their AI makes
they're cognizant
it so that
two people
it doesn't,
one?
Yeah, it doesn't become super trivial if you're playing with a friend. And I think the mechanics they have in place, like the scaling and all the other stuff, mm-hmm, balances that out. So it's a pretty balanced experience and it's really fun. It's much more fun than alone. I think.
I had the opposite experience with it because I played with a friend and she was super OP. She had an amazing build, right? So she jumped into my game and she's not really scaled down much from what I saw. So she just shredded.
Oh,
bosses.
No, we both made fresh characters.
I was going to say the best way to do that is just go fresh and say, let's experience this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I would say parts of it or some bosses, especially the human bosses, are much easier because you can stagger them to hell and back, but it's more fun and that's what matters.
Yes.
Excellent. What about you, Silver?
I haven't really been able to play very much, unfortunately, and what I have been able to play has really more mostly exclusively been Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Really felt like I needed to play some tactical stealth again, and that's really the only sort of major title on the market at the moment. Also, they did just this year put out the last content for the game, which was the Motherland update, which I didn't have the chance to play until now. So I sort of been
did you get that sweet
well.
NFT helmet though?
I did not. No,
you didn't get a sweet NFT helmet or three. You didn't buy all 16 that
I
fully
nothing.
Sold.
Yep,
I would
have.
Wow.
Nope. I would have bought all 16. What about you, Reg?
I've been playing The Legend of Nayuta Boundless Trails, which is like a
you
side
with the
title.
Long names.
Oh my god.
Well, Japanese titles. They love their long names. It's a side title of my favorite game series, the Trails series. And it's from 2012. It's a port, the PC port of a PSP title. action
similar
RPG.
Style, Reg?
No, it's not really. It's an action RPG. So it's with a bit of platforming. So the gameplay is completely different from the main series.
That's pretty much it.
Well,
longest,
my usual
long
Lost Ark.
Lost Ark, sorry. Long Ark.
Still playing Lost Ark, huh?
Long Ark.
Well.
Yeah, what was Lucetin talking about? Lucetin said he found the Lost Ark. Was he just pulling people's legs? Was he just being Lucetin?
Yes.
Okay, because you can't find the Lost Ark, right?
No, he said he found the Lost Ark in the Path of Exile update or something like that.
Gotcha.
Dude, that guy posts Path of Exile's updates for everyone. Well, nobody gives a fuck about it.
I love it.
He still does it.
Lucetin is the type of, if he was a streamer that actually talked to people, because he'll stream and he'll turn off his mic and all that. He's like the most anti-streamer streamer. Yeah. If that dude streams stuff,
every just company the mic, would love just him. Also muted, like it doesn't even hear anyone.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I don't know why he doesn't. I mean, some company, if they saw him, they'd be like, dude, that's the guy we want. Like, that guy won't shut up about our game. He loves our game. That's who you want. You don't want to. I mean, I have no issue with paying a streamer.
Well, he loves games
stream
he hates.
At once, but, well, that is true.
True.
That is true. What about you, Johnny?
So I played a little bit of Trek to Yomi, which we'll talk about today. Interesting game, which you reviewed, so people should check out the review.
Abzi, you should check out the Trek to Yomi review.
Yeah, what? Abzi, let's call him out. Abzi has
which
not...
review? What are you talking about?
Trek to Yomi, you haven't seen
he knows,
character
he knows
review?
He's being...
The fuck is that?
He's being Abzi, he's being anti-good guy today.
Is it the dude with the beard on the thumbnail?
Just shut up. I'm gonna cover up your face in every thumbnail from now on.
Oh yes, baby, weeks. Cover up my face.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Not like that. Okay, let's move on.
What else?
What else? So I also played a little bit of Lego Star Wars with my friend that came over.
Oh yeah, how did that go? How
over
did that
the weekend? It was great. Yeah,
awesome.
And you know, we had a great time hanging out. It's really cool to meet someone that, you know, I've known them for 2 years online.
Yeah,
and then we kind of. Yeah, finally met IRL, so pretty dope. We had a great time. We actually played A Way Out, like in one sitting or a couple sittings.
It's fun on couch.
It's such a great game.
Can
for
we
local
give and... Johnny a kudo too for dropping a digital acronym for meeting somebody? He said
IRL.
They came over and we got to meet IRL, and something about that, it was just like, that was perfect, Johnny. That was
perfect. Yeah, the contrast of like, yeah.
Anyway,
IRL is the best.
He's on it, man. He knows the shit. So so you guys got to do your stream. That person got to show their face if that's what the plan was.
Yeah,
and this
exactly.
person you've known for 2 years and due to gaming, Discord, all that stuff. And
it's kind of
moderator.
A surreal experience, yeah? If you know someone online for a while, and then that's how I met a friend of mine. I've known him online for a while. We were playing on like Skype for a long time. And then the way he met me was that I just threw up because I was drunk. And I just ran out the door and threw
what
up.
What an impression.
And I was like, hey, Alex. Yeah, it's a good time.
He's always got a story that just evolves humanity to its worst. Like three.
I'm a degenerate. Yes.
A degenerate. Anyway, Johnny. So you played that. You got to get them over. They stayed for 1 day.
They stayed. He stayed for 3 days.
Oh wow. Okay.
Basically, yeah. And so we had a chance to hang out quite a bit.
Gotcha. And it was fun. By the time they
it was
left,
fun.
You didn't
played,
hate them.
Played some cards, some games, watched some anime. Finally watched Spirited Away, which is one of those like animated movies that
one of the great
everybody
movies
puts
of all time.
In there.
Yeah,
it's
isn't
so
it?
Good.
Everybody okay. puts it in their top.
Studio Ghibli. Yeah,
yeah, it's a great movie actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we had a great time, man. And I also have some ongoing games that I've been playing, like Final Fantasy 14. I'm almost at the latest expansion, but there's just a bunch of content right in between. So I'm just making my way through that. And also in my...
Did you get 5.3? Did you get to 5.3?
Yes, I played that.
Dude,
and that was...
The ending?
Dude, for... Because it's not even part of the main expansion, Abzi. Mm. And it's such
it's the best.
Great content.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. And also I'm in my League of Legends journey from zero to hero there. Kind of still in the zero part. But, you know, we're getting there. Just a lot of fun to learn the new game and try to get good at.
Anything else?
That's it, man.
Excellent. Those sound good. What's on the lower left, Johnny? Is that Lego or is that something else that I'm seeing?
This is my diner Lego set.
Gotcha. You got the lights up? Did you do the light set?
I do have the lights. It runs out of battery super quickly, annoying part.
It does, yeah. But it looks cool. I like the little lava lamp there. You can put the lava lamp behind it, make it look like the lava lamp was shining light out. I'm just saying.
Oh.
Well, yep.
Okay.
But I like lava lamps, though. My 1970s years are coming
Something about them.
By the way, you guys don't sound like you were talking to each other, and the audio is very good. Dude, we never talk. But we're very good. Well, today you are, but normally we do a very good job on not talking over the top of each other. What have I been playing? Oh, first of all, shout out to everybody who's done super chats in the last couple of weeks. It's really helped out the channel. And some people bought some shirts. We're now at 2,800 shirts sold. So if you get a chance, check out ACG on Teespring. That'll be it. Let's see. What can I talk about? Salt and Sacrifice. Can't talk about it. There, you guys can see streams for Salt and Sacrifice if you want to see what the gameplay is like for that game. Mm-hmm. Very interesting title. Trek to Yomi, played through that, played through Warhammer, and I really enjoyed both for completely different reasons. But Warhammer, man, if you're like I think Abzi said, I think you said you're not super into, 40K.
I mean, I haven't been because there hasn't been games that are good, and I never did like a TTRPG of it, I've never done that. But this game looks like, I like XCOM style games.
And dude, it makes it's so good.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great.
Dude, it was almost at 91% on Meta/OpenCritic, which admittedly I fucking hate Metacritic stuff. I think it's the death of everything. But in this one time I'll mention it because one of you guys farted. Sorry, one of my dogs.
Oh, let's be clear, it's not one of us.
No. It's just one of those titles where everybody saw it the way I did, which is nice. I don't mind if somebody dislikes a game or whatever, because usually you sort of see what they were talking about. But this game was one of those ones where you put it up, you put your review up, and you sit back. And I didn't really go back and look right away, but when I did, I was pretty blown away by how most everybody had scored it very high and really enjoyed it, which means just more people looking at that, that company possibly for doing another title. I would love to see DLC for this game. It works, man. It makes XCOM.
It just works.
It does. Todd Howard, we need him on the show to just say that about the games I say that about. But
yeah,
no RNG is the plus of all pluses. There is nothing better than not having RNG. RNG needs to go unless they do it right. And the 99% chance of missing when you're 1 foot from a person pisses me off. This game has none of that. It's like, absolutely, because they're holy emperor's soldiers. They don't miss. They don't miss. Gets in the way, is what they say. It works.
They should make an XCOM style game where you play stormtroopers.
Oh my god! Just, RNG you never 1-99.
There's no RNG. You just never hit.
always miss.
But only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise.
Oh my god! Yeah, talk about a one-liner that stuck with that show forever. Were you saying, Johnny? Did I interrupt you?
Well, that's interesting, the no RNG, because I thought that was actually a part of the formula and why the game worked in XCOM, because you guys know the psychology behind like slot machines, right? Where it's much more addictive to only get a reward sometimes versus all the time, right? And I think maybe there's something about the feeling of, like there's a bit of uncertainty, like you're not sure if you're gonna get it or not.
I don't know.
Let me answer this just real quick. The switch between the RNG, there is still RNG, and that's trying to figure out how you get to the enemy and what they're going to do on their turn.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the RNG, you don't know what they'll do, but you do know they can hit you. If they attack you, they will hit you, just like you will hit them. There isn't an RNG, a full RNG in that game.
You will hit. So it's like...
You will, yeah, because dude, because it's a gun. It's like, they're good warriors. At their job. They're good at their job. And some of them are guided missiles. Like, when is that? I mean, I get that a guided missile occasionally misses, but it's like, talk to the people who are dead from them. It's very rare. Usually
the thing is, like, in XCOM, if I miss a 90% shot, I'm reloading that motherfucker, dude. I'm reloading that motherfucker.
You
and
mean
trying
the game,
again.
Right?
In the game.
Yeah.
Like, not reloading the weapon. Yeah, like, I'm quick loading. And trying that shot again, because it's like, it's bullshit, you know what I mean? I'm not fucking right in front of this dude with a shotgun.
Absorb your mistakes and disadventures.
But here's the thing. It's not, I mean, and I get that, but I don't think, I think if it was a ragtag group of people, that might make sense. But when you start getting superheroes and warriors and they're 1 foot away from somebody with the gun rubbing their face, and you can see the animation where the gun goes into their face and they fire, 99% chance, and it misses completely. You're just like,
It's the same thing with like dialogue checks, like skill checks. Like, I like how Outer Worlds does it because it's like, okay, if you have 10 charisma, you're going to be able to do this. So it's not a percentage where it's like, oh, you might fail it. Just, we don't know. You know,
you're gonna have you done Warhammer, Johnny?
Yeah.
Have you done this Warhammer game?
No, not yet.
I want to hear back when you've done this, because I have a feeling you will understand what I mean when you play it and realize the tactical feeling this game adds well beyond any other, because the tactic is now getting into the proper spot, getting out of the way where an enemy might be able to get you, understanding that, for example, this is one of the first games where the distance really matters in Overwatch. They even tell you, they're like, watch out, because Overwatch has a much shorter distance than an enemy can fire. So you might do Overwatch, and if they stop outside Overwatch, you're like, uh-oh, that's not what I was hoping for. So you have to get your Overwatch to basically be at an angle so that the only way they can fire is to get into that Overwatch.
You know, I like that, because it was so autopilot with XCOM. It's just like Overwatch, Overwatch, Overwatch.
And dude, they get powers that are hilarious. They're like Sonic. Like, one of the guys gets a power that basically just turns into the Altered Beast arrow and just like rams through people. He's just like, fuck it! And you can add power to all your guns, your swords, by using psychic force. But if you do, you increase the warp, because enemies, the chaos is always watching. And if it gets too high, then it fucks up the world. Nurgle Rot will, which is, Nurgle's one of the gods, god of pestilence in that world. It'll like throw down acid on the ground, or it'll make a dude genetically like grow shit, become harder to damn. It's a tit for tat, man. So the risk is in a different spot. It's in a different spot.
Right.
Jordan, do you play any of these?
No, I tried getting into XCOM a couple of times and did like it. Just isn't a genre I played a ton of.
Are you more RTS real time or just not that?
Yeah, just not that. I would say, yeah, I like XCOM and Tactics. I think what got me into it a lot was like the newest Fire Emblem one. I got really into that one because it was like
Three Houses.
Like, okay, I actually do like tactics type gameplay now. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll return to XCOM and everything. And now hearing about this, like, I've done a little bit of miniatures in the past, but not a ton. But I like the like Warhammer universe and everything. Yeah. And so I've been waiting for like a super good game to come out again.
Do you think, Jordan, we talked about this either last podcast or the podcast before, do you think sometimes it's just the fantasy of, because some people like sci-fi but don't like Westerns. So when I was trying to sell people on Weird West, they were like, I'm not into Westerns. And so do you think maybe it's also the XCOM just timeline and like modernization? Like, are you just not into those weapons? Are you not into the paranormal? Because that's, well, it's not paranormal. It's aliens, isn't it? Like, is that also what pushed you away, the fiction? Or is it truly just like that tit for tat movement that normally got you, and maybe Fire Emblem was fantasy is what I was getting.
Yeah. I think maybe not even realizing it, that is what it was. Cause I think, yeah, I mean, in all the personal works I do, like fantasy is my first go-to and sci-fi follows it second, but so it's probably that as soon as you throw like monsters and like dudes with huge shoulder pads that, you know,
yeah, gun, you like bounce off of it, right?
Sword. Any, yeah. If there's a sword.
Oh, is there a sword?
You got me.
Like, okay. Gotcha.
If there's a sword. You got me.
Gotcha. I think a lot of people don't know, but that is their, like, you know, that is their thing, where it's like, oh, the genre may fit, but then the fantasy doesn't, whatever modernization or supernatural paranormal. So playing Warhammer, that's the it for me. People in chat, we got some super chats here. I'm going to read them real quick. People in chat have been playing.
Just a quick recommendation for Apsy, because you mentioned not having seen any 40K games, but if you like this one, I think you'll like Dawn of War 2. It isn't turn-based.
I heard it's like one of the good ones.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like they turned it into like an action RPG.
Nice.
So looking here, a lot of people playing Vampire Blood Hunt. A lot of people playing that. Vampire Blood Hunt, I bounced off of just because I think the three-person hero shooter thing is, I'm just a little bit out of it right now. I'm going to try to go back. I think it's a good game. And a lot of people are digging it.
It looks fun.
I got to talk to Ocelot, Carlos from G2, because I think he might like it. And see what he's liking. Carrie says, also finished Mass Effect 1 on the Legendary Edition and started 2. Forgot how much better Mass Effect 2 mission. Still love the story in 1. Get out of here. playing Mass Effect Andromeda. Is that like a, were you threatened with your life to play that game?
I was going to say.
Joking. Terminator Resistance. Let's see. I preferred the way Phoenix Point did combat. Interesting, man. Phoenix Point, that was hard for me to get into. Emerald Celestial, 5-pound super chat. He said, whoops, I forgot the message. All right, I'll look. If I miss your message, you can post it again. You missed it. Somebody says, waiting for Space Marine 2. So am I. I can't wait. That game, yeah. Space Marine 2 is going to be exciting. DCRUC, it's $50 super chat. Enjoy the glitter-covered money. Have a great weekend. Thank you, sir. You as well. Also, if you guys get a chance, check out some of his videos. He just released a video on Halo Season 2 and his disappointment. I'll just say that. Disappointment. I've been playing Wild at Heart. Somebody says, Brett Moore, $5 super chat. Always amazes me how far gaming culture's come. Nice type of place we nerds can meet and talk. Cheers, guys. Yeah, remember? Nerds used to sit at the cafe alone, and when they talked, jocks would beat them up. Now, jocks are nerds. Nerds are jocks. It's a melting pot of nerddom. Beginning Dragon Quest XI. What's that? 11? 10? 9?
11.
11, yeah.
Sorry, there's one where I feel like it goes backwards, and I always mess it up.
Yes.
Right? IX is 9.
Thank you. Yeah. Judgment. Playing Judgment's so good. I'm thinking he means the Yakuza ones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that Judgment. Reminds me. I'm also playing Yakuza 3 right now.
Yes, dude. Yes. Dude, 3 is awesome.
So good.
I'm loving 3 so far. It's really good.
3 is great. I played all of them in a row. So I love those games. Yeah.
Let's see. I've been on the Project Wingman Ace Combat 7. Emerald Celestial. I just wanted to say I can't afford the patron and stuff, but I love your content in the pod. You guys rock. Thank you very much. Yeah, man. You know, patron sucks, but you know, got to have it these days. I apologize for that, but thank you for showing up for the free content here. We try to make sure we cover everything, even stuff we've done in reviews. So moving on from there, let's do one news thing, and then we'll answer a couple questions, because we always put questions at the end. Go with news. Stargate, I want to talk about this.
Oh,
so
yes.
I can't...
What?
Well, I just said prior to the podcast starting, I hate anonymous sources, but I'm just going to say this one because excited about it. But I did randomly in just random discussions with two or three people pretty big in the industry, and I was saying the games I wanted. And I was like, I would love a Star Trek. We already know we're getting Star Trek Factions. Is that the one that's the Telltale style one that's coming out that doesn't have a lot of combat? That looks great. But I mentioned Star Trek and Stargate, and all three of them stated prepare to be happy.
Stargate
in some
SG-1?
Way. Yeah, so... But Star Trek was already announced when I said that. So I'm thinking it is Stargate.
I hope so.
Some kind.
I've wanted a Stargate game like since forever. They showed one a while ago. Stargate something. I used to have the box sets. And with
yeah,
the season
where you,
8
where
box
you could fly. Came. They were talking about an MMO as well where you can go through the gates.
And there was an MMO.
Yeah, he was in the beta. Yeah, Reg was in the beta.
There was that. Yeah. And there was one where you literally play as the SG-1 team and it was like an action.
Let's just do it.
First person shooter.
Talk about a game that makes its own content. I mean, that just go to a different world every, like, have them add worlds yeah. in. Like,
And I hope they do it, like, because in the episodes, each episode was a different story, right? You'd go, each world had its own, like, issues and conflicts. So that would be cool in a game where it's just continuously, like, oh, you go, there's a new world now, and they have their own conflict, and you go there and solve it.
Jordan, are you a Star Trek or Stargate fan?
Honestly, I haven't really gotten into either one. I've never watched any Stargate, not for any particular reason. I should love it, and like,
but
I
just have, yeah, for whatever reason,
it holds up.
And then Star Trek is one of those things where it's like, I know people like start here, start there, but there's just like so much of it, and it feels overwhelming a bit. So it's like, it's like when, like, I can't get into One Piece at this point, right? Because there's like 900 episodes, and I'm just like, I can't start now. It's too much of an undertaking, even though I really want to.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same thing with Star Trek.
You know what has been working for me, dude, is because I agree, like, and because I do binge. So I know that if I do like something, I will watch it all, which then is an issue. But what I've been doing is checking summaries out big time. So like if I want to jump into, because I'm not into comics, but some comics I'm into, a very weird issue with me. So what I'll do is if I like an idea for a comic series, I'll go to like the summary of the prior stuff. Read the summary and then jump in just to that. And it's actually worked out quite well where I'm like, I read the summary. I'm like, okay, I get it. It's happened a couple times with game series where the old games were on, you know, SNES or whatever, and I didn't have, I'm not going to go back and play one of those old, you know, games, but reading a summary on it so you can jump into the new one has helped. But yeah, I agree with you, man. There's so much for everything now. It's very hard. It's very hard to branch out when you know there's 5,000 whatever's waiting for you.
And new stuff coming all the time, right? It's like, do I spend the next 3 months on this old thing that I do want to watch, or five new shows that are coming out every week, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy, man. I for sure get that. But anyway, so that was, it's not a lot of a rumor. It was just an interesting response that I got from multiple people. So I figured,
like, imagine the MMO where you could play as Goa'uld or Replicators or Wraith. That'd be fucking sick.
I wouldn't even want that. I would just want the SG1, SG2, SG3. RPG. Well, imagine imagine Outriders, but good.
Yeah.
Imagine good.
That's
good.
What you want. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Anthem, but good. Because that's those games are set up in the same way. The mission format. And the idea of, like, you naming your SG whatever numbers you want, you know, SG Blue Alpha 2 or whatever. And it's like, and then imagine, you know, the game takes some of that data in and it tells you what that group has done. Like, they've successfully met four new races.
I just
want
to shoot P90s,
they've
bro.
Shot P90s. P90s. Jesus, what a shit.
Dude, they made me love that. I know
you did, because it looked futuristic, but come on, man.
No. I'm not because I've been so accustomed to watching them shoot them in the show that any game with P90s, I'm like, I'm role playing O'Neill, dude. I'm shooting people with P90s. I don't give a fuck. You know, so
such an ugly ass gun.
Hey man, I had a massive mag though.
No, I had a massive mag, and it wasn't a bullpup. Which, if anybody in the military tells you like a bullpup, they're lying, because bullpups are ridiculous to reload. That one wasn't, but it had other issues. Feeding was one of them, but it is. I mean, people still use it. It's just, I don't know. It's such a weird looking gun, but
it is.
I think that's why they chose it, right? They were like, we don't want them going in with, you know, M4s and stuff.
And then Teal'c starts using it. He gets rid of his staff.
Yeah, gets rid of his staff that shoots one time every 45 minutes. I don't know what the hell they did, but they kept doing that. And it's like, he's you know, he's ignoring bullets and shit, and then he fucking blows people away. It's like, you would see that guy. Most enemies would see that guy.
Remember,
like,
when
out.
they introduced the zap gun, that it can disappear objects in the first couple seasons, but then they never did it ever again.
I do not remember that gun, but that gun's overpowered. That's an OP Destiny gun that gets vaulted, right? Vaulted.
You shoot one person like four times and they're supposed to get, like, just disappear from the
face. Oh, like a phaser. The Klingons had the disintegrator or whatever, where, like, they shot you and just...
It's like one is stun, two is kill, and then three is, like, disappear or something. That is the Zat gun.
That is an assassin weapon. If killing's not enough, we're gonna disappear your body into the ether. Might as well just be torture. It just really hurts forever. You're just always in pain. Let's see. Can't wait for an inevitable article about leak or ACG leaking Stargate game. Yeah, true. I'll probably be
Kotaku
on Reddit.
Where you at? Kotaku.
All right, moving on from there. I just wanted to bring that up. Johnny, let's do this. Or everybody. Trek to Yomi impressions. Johnny goes first. Go for it.
So I'm only a few hours in, so this is kind of early impressions. But I'm glad I watched your review and a couple other reviews.
Are you glad that you watched my review? Mine?
Specifically.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Johnny. I appreciate that.
It helped me frame what to expect from the game, which is not tight combat, right? So I was ready for a kind of like a
little jank,
unresponsive, a bit jank, right? And I was okay with it. And I think you kind of nailed, like, how you talked about the presentation. And, you know, a lot of people have made comparisons with Ghost of Tsushima and their, like, black and white mode and stuff like that. And that didn't work well, right? Like, we talked about it in the podcast. Yeah, like, you know, it was cool for 5 minutes, but then you find yourself switching back to full color. And
because it looked beautiful, that game looked
beautiful.
And
actual audio. Yeah, exactly. But this game, you know, being made with that in mind really works. And, you know, they have, like, the contrast and stuff kind of dialed in a way that really works.
Yeah, they did. They did. That's a good point.
And there's something about the presentation that's so, like, careful and deliberate, you know, like the camera angles. And it's true that at times they are, you know, like, they obscure some of the action, which you kind of mentioned, but it's just so visually striking how they have these, like, elements in the forefront sometimes kind of blurred, right? Like the artistic blur in the, and then the stuff in the back and I guess it is it like a full 3D or like a 2.5?
It's a 2.5 at times, like 2.5 Pandemonium. It was one of my favorite games of all time when I was a young kid. It's got some Pandemonium moments where it sort of twists that camera while you're playing, you know, moves it behind and you and does that angled thing.
And in fact, I'm taking it as like a super chill, playing it in normal, not even wanting any challenge from the combat, really.
Yeah.
Almost kind of playing through it to, you know, as an experience, as we say for indie games.
Yeah.
So very cool, man. It happened again that I bought the game before looking, and it turns out it is on Game Pass. So
you bought it?
I bought it, but it's okay. You know, it's a good game. I'm happy too.
I think.
But it does happen more than I would like.
I do that far too often too. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's become a joke with us, Jordan, where it's like somebody buys it and then it, like 2 or 3 days later, boom.
Well, it's fucking nuts. I'd buy like 6 games on Steam and then all of them would come to Game Pass. And I'm like, dude, what is going on? Yeah.
Yeah, it. Yeah, I agree with all that, John. It definitely isn't super tight gameplay wise, but man, some of the moments when you're walking or a shortcut you find is just like, whoa, the more I kept playing it, the more I found another shortcut where I was like, that's a lot of modeling to do. That, ignoring everything else, that's just a lot of work to put a full other shortcut, and they just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. And I think that's what really impressed me. Just there was more and more and more. I found myself interested in the story. It wasn't incredibly gripping. It's just the way they presented it. And there were a couple times where the animation, man, for a second, I was like, is that FMV? Oh, no, it's not. Like there was just, especially like when he's sitting, when it game really starts and he's sitting and it zooms in on him, or where they show the enemies pushing villagers and one of them pushes him. And I even put it in the review because for a second I was like, wait, is that real? No, it's not. It's just black and white helps hide some stuff. Yeah, it really does. True. It helps hide a little of those things. So you're a
like
couple hours
we talk about like low definition for porn. You know, we don't want like super crisp 4K.
We ain't ready for that. Technology and people ain't ready for some 4K, let me tell you that much. What about you, Abzi? You're an hour in and not enjoying it.
The thing is, like when I saw trailers of it, I want, with samurai games, I just love samurai combat. Like I like deflecting with my own sword and hitting. Like I love Ghost of Tsushima, I love Sekiro. So when I saw a trailer for that game, I was like super hyped because I just love that type of combat. And when it didn't feel good, I kind of just lost interest, you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
I know the presentation is great and everything's good. I really just wanted good samurai 2D combat. But yeah, maybe I'll play more of it and like it for other reasons. But for me, I think like combat is very important to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. Anybody else play?
Should have watched the review, bro.
It's still, even then, like I just want the combat. Yeah. So,
anybody else play it? No. So for anybody else getting it?
I'll give it a go because it's on Game Pass. So might as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Might as well check it out for sure. ACG, it's a bit scummy when you announce the delay for the day before, 6 weeks before release, don't you think? I don't think I understand that comment. I don't know what he's talking about.
Apparently the day before just announced it got delayed, and it was supposed to come out in June of this year, and now it's like 2023 some point.
Which game?
Scummy?
The day before. It's like the one that's like...
Oh, yeah. Do I think that's scummy? No, I think that's the fucking way you should... Like, if the game's not ready, delay it. What the hell? No, I don't think it's scummy. If that's the game you're talking about, hell no. Hell no. No.
Well, they announced the delay a day before the game came out? Or
no, it's supposed to be in June.
Oh, okay. Then that's
so, like, 6 weeks, and now it's coming out March 2023.
The reason why it's confusing is because the game is called The Day Before.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
So it's like you delayed the day before.
I mean,
the
I would
day
agree.
Before 6 weeks
I would
ago,
agree. If they delayed it the day of or the day before, that's kind of scummy. But I mean, like, it's 6 weeks away. I don't know.
Not actually the day before.
Yeah, the day before.
Okay. I got so confused with that question.
And I guess they're going to Unreal
reading
5.
They're,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're also delaying it to a switch to Unreal 5 too. So
a lot of games are switching to Unreal 5.
Oh, dude. I told, what did I say 2 weeks ago? I said,
even.
Prepare. I know. because that was one of the things I'd heard was I was like, prepare to see huge games announce Unreal 5. It will for sure be a thing because like everybody I'm talking to is like, we're switching to Unreal.
Yep. Like Avowed right now, they're hiring on, what's that app called? LinkedIn. And they like Unreal 5 people with experience or whatever the fuck. So that's pretty neat.
Dude. Hey man, if it helps you make your games, I'm all for it. Yeah. I'm all for like, get to the point to where a creator can create easier. And we already have issues, even like writers. All you need is a pen and paper. And people still have issues writing a book. And that's not talent. It can be life and stresses. I would like games to not be that easy. But to be to the point to where you're not sitting there mired in tech issues all the time. You know, and we see that a lot, man. Oh, it's just not ready. We're going to need another 6 months. And so if we can get to a point where it's easier for people. I just don't see why you wouldn't be. I don't see why you get 500 people making a game. The game comes out, and if it's bad, it never recovers. That's pretty crazy when you think about it. Like there, because of all of the tech issues. So it's like let's fix that up.
Hey man, real time global illumination. Give it to me without the need for RT. Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, that is a bonus, but there still already was that in some engines. I mean, I know that's a big deal, but I think Nanite's probably the.
It's just the ease of. Oh yeah, Nanite is going to be huge for performance.
Do you ever, as a writer, Jordan? Do you ever find, and you cannot answer this if you do you ever find yourself or have you ever felt found yourself stymied by the tech for some reason?
Oh yeah, for sure. Every studio has their own like writing software, the way they do things. And a lot of it is like pretty janky.
Primitive.
And, like, you know, it's not like, oh, we built it from the ground up to be great for writers sort of thing. It's just like, this is what we had and we kind of like fashioned it together. So it's not Excel, but get in there and do your thing. So you kind of get used to it. But yeah, unfortunately, like at a lot of places, a lot of time is spent because it's just like, can't get the file to go in or like, just something is wrong with the tech because it wasn't meant to do what it's now fashioned to do.
As somebody who's worked on some pretty big games, people can check his Twitter, but you know, you for a little while we're doing the KOTOR remake, but you've also done Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which actually one of my favorite Assassin's Creeds of all time.
Yeah.
Is there any particular one that struck you as very good? Is there anywhere you were like this, maybe not perfect, but robust?
The one for Odyssey was because they did build it from the ground up specifically for the game, being like, okay, this is the first game where we're doing the like, you know, choice, like big choices and like choices. Branching dialogue. Mm-hmm. So they had the tools team build it up, be like, this is what we want. And it was great. Saved so much time. It was basically, you know, just like a big final draft thing in the center. And then to the left, you could just like drag and drop stuff. You could build it out with diagrams. It was great. That's, so that has been the best one.
Yeah, there's some choices that were obviously off the gate where you have to decide between saving the family or letting the plague spread was awesome. I think the whole Mykonos side story was just incredible. Like it felt like I was playing an old school RPG with like the branching dialogue and the quests that kept like carrying on.
There was arcs. A quest maker in that game.
Yeah,
remember
there was,
for
yeah.
players, I had people hunt down the ACG podcast and it was it was so easy to make that mission. It was like, which frustrates me, Valhalla doesn't seem to have it, but I could be wrong on that, but it didn't sound like it was that was going to be in Valhalla. But the ability for a player to, you could put down quest markers, you could put down people, you could choose models, you could do it quite easily and quickly was just like, damn, this is awesome.
And to see like it had tangible effects, like I saved the family early and then later on the whole island got fucking plagued. And I was like, oh, yeah. Well, shit. Yeah. So.
Did you write most? Really... can you talk about who or what you were engaged in with Odyssey?
Oh yeah, most of my stuff was in Athens, which was like, you know, you go back to it like three times in the game. So a lot of my stuff was that. Yeah. I did the like Socrates quest line, like his personal.
Oh,
one.
Oh dude, that was good.
I did a good chunk of that one.
One was great. Is it when you can have like a threesome? In the
which
quest?
One? Which time?
Which one? Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, that was basically with him. It was just like how many times can we get you to have sex with him?
Right.
If you want to.
The best one, sorry, no, but the best one was when you had sex with this dude's wife for like a week straight. He's like, "Are you done yet?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude, she's all yours."
There's such a weird game in those moments, man. Because like you guys know me, I'm not much for relationships or sexual stuff in games. Most of the time, I'm like, I'm a hero. I'm supposed to be saving people. I can fuck later. But that game, there was a lot of goofiness, which helped. There was a lot of like weirdness, which actually I buy into.
It was ancient
one.
Greece. Everyone
know, but yeah, exactly. And that's sort of why I bought into it. So when writing for these, are you usually given a freedom of like, hey man, you're going to be in Athens. You're going to be able to create, you're going to be able to write some missions, just go for it. Or do they say like, we want 3 attack missions, 3, RPG style. How does that go?
So usually you have like the critical path, which is obviously all the main story that the player like has to do. Right. And those ones are more usually like directors and stuff will have it planned out. So they'll be like, this is, you know, we have to hit these beats and everything like that. But whereas like you were saying, a lot of the goofiness is in like the side missions, you can have a lot more fun with those. And usually with that, it's like, you know, you're going to be in Athens. And then like, you know, the writers would sit down with the quest designers and we'd just brainstorm stuff out and pitch it to the directors, be like, this is what we want to do. So they weren't like dictating, you need this type of gameplay here for this reason for the side quest or anything. It was really, you know, come up with something and pitch it and get feedback and just keep going. So that's why.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A lot of the side quests are more silly and fun. Like that's one of the reasons why I love the Yakuza games, right? It's like the main story is so serious and so good. Yeah. And then the side quests are just the most ridiculous things ever. And it works so well.
I think it adds fun back into a game because I'll tell you a game that I think we all agree, but while I like the game a lot, GTA 4 went away from the goofiness. And so while people like Nico, a lot of people do, and a lot of people like that more direness, no matter what fun I had, it was always, there just wasn't enough. It just didn't extend enough for me to be like, okay, you know, I'm sort of enjoying this, these Agreed. Side things versus the golden path of the main thing. And so a game that it sort of understands, and then you can, if you don't like it, it's no issue. You just do the main story and it's, and there's serious quests for sure in all those games, but. Yeah, it's definitely enjoyable.
I have a question to ask.
Go ahead. Let's go.
It does raise the issue a bit because you mentioned the branching stuff, which I would imagine is one of the most significant challenges for a writer, because that is one of the areas where sometimes Odyssey is really good, but also sometimes it falters a little bit. Like for instance, the Legacy of the First Blade content that I just completed. As a sort of isolated story, it's good, but as a sort of part of the tapestry of Odyssey itself, it sort of falls a little short, because all of a sudden you have like, why is my family not here? Like why is Mirini not involved in the fact that she has a grandchild now? Like all of these things that are sort of should be integral to that particular plot are suddenly not part of it, because it has to be available to the player from the very beginning. Like that's a design decision that's made. So could you talk to like the challenges of writing that maybe, or?
Yeah, I think a little bit, the only DLC I did was, I think some of the, like they'd started doing like the free quest lines that they were putting out like every 6 weeks or something like that.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
So I think I did like one Hippocrates one and then the Socrates one where it's like, he's, you know, locked up in jail and you have to go like talk to his wife and stuff like that. But like the main DLCs, and also there's so many people working on these games from their studio. Yeah. It's like, I think that DLC was done mostly by a completely different studio, but we were, you know, it's, I don't even know who worked on a lot of the stuff because there were just like 7 studios, like hundreds of people, or, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, it's one of those things, I guess, where, you know, directors know what they want to do. And so you make the choice of like, this is going to be more separate versus ones where it's like, yeah, you completed the game, those choices carry over even to the DLC, And I guess it's just one of those things you have to decide, like, are we going to do that or not? I guess they choose not.
Sometimes. I think I would rather have it the dissonance between the story versus holding off till the beating it, because that has happened a couple times. I think we were doing the Surge 2, right, Johnny? Isn't the Surge 2 the one with the DLC that's like a bit into the game? And a lot of people, like, you're just like, oh, God, really? I gotta get to that point. So
to that point,
it's probably always a trade-off of deciding like how you want new gamers to experience it.
True.
And that's why Far Cry, they just say, fuck it, we're gonna go to a spirit world. You know, totally like separate. the three antagonists, they're just like, dude, this is your it's just nuts. It's not not connected. And those work pretty well, even though they're bad. Most of them are bad. Not all of them. Most of them are bad. Reg, did you finish Odyssey?
Yes. Yes, I did.
You did finish Odyssey. Do you remember how many hours you had in that game? Let's say over 100, right?
A million.
Would you say over 100?
I would say maybe a little bit below 100, but I'm not sure.
But I would say it's very possible to do 100. So my question for Jordan is this.
Yeah, I had 150. First
do you guys ever, does that ever come up in discussions? Does it ever come up in discussions where people are like, well, okay, first of all, let's say you're there and people are surprised at the amount of hours. Does that ever come up? But what I mean is those games in particular, let's be honest, they're huge. Now, I know a lot of people have issues with it. They'll be like, that's too much game. That doesn't compute for me. Because I'm like, $60 if you're enjoying it, even if I didn't, if you're enjoying it, that's amazing for you. You keep playing. You can still beat it quicker. You can still do main path quicker, quickly, I'm sorry. Does that ever pop up even amongst yourselves? Do you ever laugh to yourself and go like, holy shit, this game's like 150 hours? Or is it shocking to you? Does time ever come up in the discussions?
Yeah, I think really early on, I mean, at least on most projects, there's the idea of how long do we want this experience to be, right? Like, is it a 10-hour straightforward game? Is it like 30? Do we want it to be 80 to 100 hours? So I know like there was probably discussions of that one, you know, early on to be like, okay, we're big open world, going to make a huge, huge, you know, ancient Greece. We want it to be 80 to 100, 220 to 150, you know, whatever that is. That's, I would say, always in the discussion, at least somewhat, to be like, where do we want to kind of hit? And then, you know, as production goes on, do we have the manpower? Do we have the budget? Can we hit the date and still get that? What's getting cut? What's not, sort of thing. It's crazy sometimes looking back on it and being like, I can't believe there's that much, you know, content in the game like how big it actually is, you know. Like I think that, you know, worlds can get too big when you like spend too much time traveling. It's like I kind of just want to get to the next
world,
you know.
Is too big.
Yeah. Like shrink it by 30% but still the same amount of content. I'd rather be a bit more like compact, but that's just me, you know. Some people like the riding a horse for, you know, 10 minutes.
Yeah, some
minutes
people it's the journey,
good.
Right? Some people
it's not. That's, you know, that's cool too, so.
Super chat real quick. Benjamin, $10 super chat. He's got a rhinoceros riding an office chair. I think that's not a rhinoceros. That's a hippo. That's a hippo. How dare I get hippos and rhinoceros? Man, somebody's pissed.
Also, I looked at the hours. I have 106 hours was with the DLC.
Atlantis?
Yeah.
I think the base game took me 120 to 30 hours. 130 hours, I would say. Yeah.
But, somebody else just hit I'm reading these. Listen to these, guys. 160, 215. 250. So here's the thing. There is some travel in that game, but because of fast travel, that's in many ways that's mitigated. To me, if somebody got 215 hours out of a game, as long as they're not one of those weirdos who's like a sadomasochist, who's like, I hated every minute and goes, writes a Steam review and is like, I hated 215 hours of this game. And you're like, what are you doing with your life? If they're not that kind of person, to me, that's the best part of gaming. The best part of gaming is that somebody who doesn't have a lot of money can spend... And if they like an Assassin's Creed game, they can spend 60, even if they don't beat it. That's another thing. I think a lot of people are like, we know people don't beat games. We know. Right. There are multiple people have been like, dude, the achievement thing for this is like fucking 2%. But did you get your $60? Did you get $200 out of that? At 215 hours, my assumption is that person, even if you say 80% of that they enjoyed, that's 90 hours. My math is, I'm sure, hedgy on that. 95 hours. It's awesome. That's to me, that's fantastic. Like, I dig it, man. I've got 2017 hour. Butterfly, check your math, man. You said you've got 2017 hours. I'm pretty sure you mean 217.
Jesus.
2000? Well, okay. That could be if he made quests.
The mission, generator.
The mission generator.
Well, he's saying Origins. It's not even Odyssey. So there is no mission generator for that one.
Man.
Questionable. We'll say we're skeptical, but good on you.
I mean, I'm just skeptical if that person, like, needs me to buy him a game.
Like, post an emoji if you need help.
Yeah. Yes, my brain stopped for a sec. Yeah, my brain stopped. Okay, yeah. But anyway, yeah, it's interesting to see these games come out and how long they are and stuff. And, and it's always cool to have a writer come in because a lot of times you have a musician come in, they have a completely different track for how they, which is where I started, was a lot of composer discussions because I'm huge into music and games. But they have a different track. Voice actors have come in and they have a completely different track. And so getting a writer in who understands that starting is awesome to me, of that, that somebody does have that discussion and says, yeah, we want this game to be 100 hours. It's like, well, 100 good hours or 100 hours? Because that's, you know, that's also.
You know, I always wonder, maybe you can answer this, Jordan, like how much stuff gets cut from your, right? Because you probably write a bunch of stuff that never makes it to the end product.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how's that for you? Do you have any control over it? Is it a lot that gets
cut? Can you volley for one you really like?
Depending, yeah. If it's straight up just like, we know that the other teams aren't going to be able to like get this put together, then, you know, there's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
But, you know, there's times where it's like, okay, can we like definitely keep this one, but like maybe cut one from somewhere else that I was going to do, you know? So like, I'd rather have this quest here then do the other one later, like to kind of steal it from over there, and that can be doable. But it's different every time.
Gotcha. Everybody in chat, I want to know the most you have in a game. Somebody's posting 3,000 hours, 4,000 hours. This is probably League of Legends kind of stuff. 1,000 hours in Monster Hunter World. Makes sense. I'm not a big fan of Monster Hunter World, but you can see I've got 2,000 in Borderlands 3. Makes sense, except it's 3 and not 2, because 3 was just didn't hit as well. But some of these games make sense, man. You don't need to post your MMO, guys. Like, we know, like, that shit's ridiculous. 666 in PUBG. Spooner, what's up, buddy? 6,300 hours in Dota 2.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know how much I have in League. Probably over 10,000 hours. I've been playing out for, like, 9 years or something.
Yeah. Oh, God, then, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that not... That's 700 in Skyrim.
Abzi, do you play currently?
Just ARAMs, but I debated.
You just debated. Perked on his interest.
Bro.
Do you want me to carry you to platinum or diamond? I have a question, though. You said you also worked on like Ghost of Tsushima, right? Mm-hmm. Like you moved. Was there any like a fundamental differences that you had to get accustomed to moving from a game like... I know they're kind of similar in a way, but moving from a game like Assassin's Creed to Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah, for sure. Just because like size of the team was so much smaller, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
I think by the time Odyssey launched in the Quebec studio, we had in that studio like 400 to 500 people, I think, when it was like at its most. And then there were still other studios helping out.
Yeah.
Whereas I think when I was at Sucker Punch, and I was only there for the last like 8 or 9 months of development, so I just like came in kind of at the end, was 150 or something like that, or under 150. So it's just like, it's just, you know, you don't have as much time to get things done. So, you know, it is more limited and you have to make the decisions, I think, which can be good, which is like, what is the great content that we're going to keep here? Because we don't need to fill as much, as big of a world, you know. It was still a big world, but nowhere near like what Odyssey
was. Content wise. Yeah. Like the amount of quests and stuff, nowhere near Odyssey for sure.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, so it's, yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Continue.
Oh no, I was gonna say, so yeah, it's going from that big of a game to a big one, but slightly smaller. Much smaller team, sorry, weird, I guess, just because you're used to being like, oh yeah, we need 75 quests done by, you know, X. And now it was like, we need 6. And you're just like, oh, that's a lot nicer, you know? Dates are tighter, but much less content to actually do. So you feel like you can spend more time on it in some ways.
Do you think you can massage the edge out of a quest if you work on it too long? Like, do you ever find yourself sort of in a way, like, I don't know what the term would be, but like, I have just felt that like sometimes when I hear somebody's got a long time to write something or whatever, you get the George R. R. Martin thing, It's just, it either takes forever or when it comes out, like some games in particular, I've noticed just don't really have an edge in some of their quests or everything sounds like it's delivered from the same person instead of that particular character. Have you ever, run into that or is that not a thing?
I think for the most part for writers, usually it's the other way where it's like, we're always short on time sort of thing.
And, okay, jumping.
We're also so early on in the process because it's like, we have to get it done. Has to be handed to, you know, the mission designers have to get it in, then has to go to localization, which is huge, and get voice recorded.
Yeah,
so like
true.
Where the writers are super, super busy on a project, other teams are kind of just like chilling.
Right.
And then
okay,
it'll get like near the end of a project. And we're, you know, for the last like 3-4 months of a project where writers are kind of doing nothing or working on the next thing or just like upping our skills because we already did our heavy lifting earlier because we had to.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I hadn't even thought about that. We got some super chats. Kel, $5 super chat, keeping the lights on. Thank you very much, guys, for the super chats. Another 5 from him. A question for Jordan. I was wondering if he could remark on if or how his writing helps to shape gameplay and mechanics. Is there any input from your writing that you've seen in some kind of mechanic or in the way something's been done in a game?
I think a lot of it is, maybe not necessarily the writing itself helped shape it, but a lot of times, you know, collaboration is huge on projects. So, like, very often you're talking with the people who are in charge of gameplay and coming up with like, okay, here's the story that we would be cool to tell here. What kind of gameplay would like work well with it? So you try to do that as much as possible. So it doesn't feel like the narrative and gameplay are super divorced from one another. So, you know, it's not that the writing necessarily informs the gameplay, but you just try to make it mesh as well as possible. So it feels like, oh yeah, these were obviously done in tandem and not the story was written first and the mission was written around it. Or what happens way more often, which is the design is completely done, wrap some narrative around it now.
How do you do, you said improve skills. I don't know if that's what, if you meant what I'm going to ask, but I want to ask, does that mean like, what does that mean? Does that mean literally writing more to improve writing? What does that mean?
Yeah, a lot of just like writing more, looking at where you're, you know, weak at with the other writers and stuff, getting like way more feedback.
Wow.
Just like doing weird sort of things. So like, you know, there was stuff that we did on
like
other
exercises
projects.
Almost, would we
yeah,
say?
Basically,
kind of like stuff, right?
Hone the craft sort of thing while you're in off season, you know, just to keep yourself fresh. So that way when the next project does start, it's not like, I have to remember how to write again. And you're always just like, oh, I learned in between projects.
That's interesting. I mean, obviously, I assumed that kind of stuff was happening, but I didn't know if it was a, you know, and it, probably from the musical side where a lot of the composers I talk to or sample guys, audio is still sort of treated like a redheaded stepchild a lot of times, right? And so they don't get those times a lot of times. So I wasn't even thinking about growth. And the honest truth is I think a lot of us think that the writing in a lot of games is not great. And so because it's difficult to write, I've talked about this 100 times. It's not always just the writers. It's that you have to fit things into us. You have to like drop certain words so a person knows where to go and it may not make everything flow right. But the idea of you guys getting together and saying, we're going to make a weird character, do this, do an exercise. That to me is fascinating because I just feel that nobody talks about that kind of stuff. And to be honest, I don't know if I've ever thought that you guys would, that anybody would do that. Like that's the first time that's ever come up. That's fascinating, man. Do you find that support obviously is from the bigger companies because they have the budget and manpower, or did you find that pretty much everywhere? Or is it just because of your, like you said, the steps you were taking, you have some dead time, it just becomes a thing?
Yeah, I think it's depending on studio. Like if, you know, a second project is already in the works and it's like, okay, we can just move the writers onto that right away.
Right.
Then you don't have the time for that. But yeah, I mean, I've been at least at 2 of the studios I've been at, there's been those lulls and it's been like, okay, let's fill it with something that's worthwhile. So we're not just like sitting at our desk and doing absolutely nothing. So I think it just depends on, you know, really the leads and, or whoever just being like, hey, we should do this.
Proactive
and just,
on it.
Yeah. Get better at writing so that, you know, we're fresh.
I never asked you this, degree for writing. Did you go to school for writing? I never asked you.
Yeah, I got a degree. So my degree is in English with the creative writing like focus, basically. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, you know, fiction writing, screenplay writing courses and stuff like that. Had no idea what I wanted to do with it. It was just, I was in my sophomore year and it was at that point where it was like, you have to pick a major. And I was like, I don't know, I'll pick this. And thankfully it worked out because if I didn't get into game writing, I didn't want to teach or anything. So like, I have no idea what I would have done.
Right. No idea where you would have taken it. A lot of people go to college and then whatever they're in is has nothing to do. You know, they're an engineer, but now they're suddenly working at McDonald's. We do have a super chat question for you. Beast by Nature says, question for Jordan. Do you have a signature phrase or detail you try to put into your works for games where someone could identify, or at least you can? That's Jordan. Do you have like a signature phrase or something that you sneak in?
No, but there are moments where you can sneak something in. So at least like, you know, or, you know, hidden stuff where it's like, odds are players will never, ever know
pick up
that
on it. Right.
It was your thing, but you know, it's in there and you can tell people like, oh yeah, that's for this reason. You do it where you can, but it can be hard because
it may not fit with whatever.
Every scene gets reviewed and line gets reviewed. People are going to be like, that doesn't really fit. No.
Right. You know,
if I started every one of my things with sup, people would be like, right. Dude, not everybody says sup. Why is a princess saying sup? But I'd be like, eh, could you leave it in there?
Yeah. It's one of those things where you want to, and it's just like, no, I got to write it in this character's voice.
Final boss of the game. Sup.
Right? Dude, I would shit myself if that happened. That would be
sick,
amazing.
That'd be sick, honestly.
This is all fascinating because, like I said, this is, I think, the first time we've had like a. I think we've had one or two that did some writing because they were forced to, you know, work a small company where it's like, this is what I think the Vermintide guys, they had writers for sure. But I think sometimes everybody's doing, especially the first Vermintide, when I talked to Victor, it was a pretty small team. And so it's like, sometimes it's like, what should we have him say? Have him say this. And everybody just sort of jumps in. So it's fascinating to hear this from somebody.
Different question. Just you mentioned writing for Socrates for Odyssey, and so like it goes a bit to like the transition to like Ghost of Tsushima that Apsy also talked about. But what is like the challenge for writing like a historical character like Socrates and say a more fictional character like you would have done with the Ghost of Tsushima, even though that was a historical game?
So. Sure, yeah, I think the hardest thing about that is that, you know, at least with the ancient Greek stuff and Socrates, like we have a lot of writings from it, it's so far back that there's not a ton, but people still have an idea in their head about how a character is based on what they learned in school or what they read in, you know, books, or like if they read Aristotle, they're like, oh, Socrates is like X. So people have that image in their head. So you want to like try to hit that as much as possible. The good thing about Odyssey was that because it was so far back and there wasn't a ton of stuff to pull from, that we got to have a bit more fun with the character and be like, okay, he's still, you know, the goal I think for Socrates that one of the other writers came up with was like, you want to have a beer with him, but also punch him in the face. So we like try to hit that middle ground of like, you want to keep talking to him because he's intriguing, but also, God, he's fucking annoying, you know? But
I love still that character.
Keep doing his next quest, right?
Let's see. Handsome Jet. I didn't know about Vermintide, playing it right now. Yeah, Vermintide's good, man. You should definitely play it if you get a chance. Moving on from there, I want to talk about the Call of Duty thing. So, Abzi posted this news. Go ahead and just...
Why'd you say it like the Abzi posted this news?
I didn't.
Fuck that guy. I just
put...
Yeah, I just found it.
More than 3,000 people?
More than 3,000 people are working on the new COD. I mean, they took a year off, and that's huge for them. I wonder if they're going to change, you know, the fundamental things about the game. I don't know. Maybe it's just going to be the same old COD. But you know, when Assassin's Creed took a year off and they came out with a new type of Assassin's Creed, I wonder if they're going to do some fundamental changes like that for COD. And if you'd like to see it, if people, longtime COD fans, would like to see that, or if they're going to whine again. Like, because for Assassin's Creed, everyone wanted a change. And then when they did change, people were like, well, now we want the old Assassin's Creed. What the hell happened to the old Assassin's Creed? So I wonder if we're going to get that divide of people wanting a change, but then going like, okay, well, we want the old COD. So, you know, you're not going to please everyone, obviously, but I wonder what they're going to do with it.
COD always makes me laugh as like a moniker for Call of Duty, because it always just makes me think about
the fish. So what do you guys think? I don't know. Like, is anybody here a huge COD fan? I mean,
yeah, just kind of once in a while. Like, I played a ton of, what was it, the Modern Warfare? Was that 2019? Or like the one that like what got huge?
The last good one, yeah.
I got into that one, and prior to that, the last one I had played was like years and years earlier. And then I haven't played since that one. So it's like, I'm always down when they do new stuff, but it's risky, right? Like you were saying, you're not going to please everyone. There's hardcore fans that will hate new stuff, but you'll pull in a lot of new fans. And so it's walking that tightrope of like, which do they want to do more right now? And
it's a hard line to walk. You just don't know. Sometimes you think people are like a hive mind, and sometimes you're like, okay, well, we just can't please anybody, you know. But I don't know. I mean, after all the yearly COD releases, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing they did that. I don't know what's going on with Activision with, you know, the Microsoft acquisition or what the hell they're doing. But it might be a good thing. We never know. Guy just kind of threw the topic and more left. Well,
I mean, time will tell. I mean, you would think they need some kind of reboot because it does seem like they've gone sort of creatively dry a bit.
You can only reiterate the same material over
and over and over again, like remaking the same game now. Like,
we're talking about the again. Modern Warfare, Call of Duty.
Yeah. So it does seem like the creative well has sort of run dry on that. But I mean, I haven't really played Call of Duty since like Call of Duty 2, like the World War II.
Oh,
one.
The old, old 2. Like the
Ron R. Yeah, $5 yeah, super because, chat. Can't hang out for the long show. We'll catch you upload later. Have a good podcast. Sorry.
Like the modern games never really attracted me so much because I had more of a pull towards like tactical shooters. Same. Like Arma and stuff.
Arma. Escape from Tarkov.
Yeah. Another super chat.
But that wasn't really to hate on Call of Duty because I know it's been very popular over the past 10 years with a certain, particularly the tactical shooter people to really hate on Call of Duty and like derisively sort of perceive their fans. I'm not really into that, but I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they come up with after a hiatus. And hopefully there's some kind of a revamp because I mean, they did say that their Modern Warfare revamp was going to be a revamp and now we're going to go get serious and whatnot, which, as I suspected, turned out to be less true. But
maybe they lean more into the tactical side of things. I mean,
let's do this super chat real quick, and then we'll jump back into it because it's a question for Jordan. $5 super chat from Macon. He says, when getting hired on later in a project, how much of the story do they share with you so that you have context?
Oh, I mean, all of it. Like day one, you have access to everything. You have to, right? So it's like, when I got onto Ghost, it was like the first week or two was just playing as much of the game as possible that had built. That way I knew, okay, here's the tone you're going for. Here's, you know, all that sort of thing. So you can, then when you start working, you can hit it exactly what they've been doing the entire rest of the project, right? Because you need to match tone, character voice, all that sort of stuff. And you don't have, usually when you come on that late, you don't have months to like, okay, I can do some research. I can do this. You know, you really have to be like writing as quickly as possible once you get in there because they likely need someone, which is why they hired someone, you know, late in the project is they need that extra help. You have all the documentation, everything. So it's a lot of playing the game as much as possible, reading everything you can as quickly as possible, and then getting in there.
I think that's very important because, man, if there are some plot holes in there, people will go fucking wild on your
ass. The reason why I wanted to read that so bad is because, to be honest, I think the truth is that a lot of people believe that there's a lot of secrecy and that it's siloed information for writers. I actually do believe that a lot of people actually think that it's like, you're writing side quests. We're not going to tell you what happens at the end, maybe to stop leakers, who knows. Right. Which makes sense because we do have a lot of, you
but
know,
it's not like Area 51.
NDA means nothing these you know? Days. Yeah.
I've never been on a project where anything's been hidden just because.
Dude, that's sweet as hell, man. That is eye-opening.
Because you have to know, right? If you want to seed stuff earlier in the story.
Right.
For the
well, you don't have to. It could be shit. Hope that they do, which is sort of what I was getting to. So back on COD, jumping back on COD, we can leap back on there. Speaking of narrative, I wonder what those guys who write COD have to, like, if somebody says, hey, bro, man, you're going to write World War II. And the writer's like, what do you mean? It happened. What we've plumbed that. We've died. You go to the same well. Sometime you're going to get mud, man. Like at some point, you just can't get any more water.
I think with those types of stories, it's like historical and already done. I feel like you want to lean more into like characters and characterizations and how they
Didn't
they
Battlefield
did
have
time.
The chick with the fucking bionic arm?
You could do that, but you could also just go for one of the like
lesser
dozens and dozens of fronts that hasn't really been sort of covered or focused on. Mm-hmm. Like go to the Battle of Munda Casino, like one of the biggest battles of the Second World War. That hasn't
I have no
really
idea what that
sort of
is.
Well, I mean, maybe they don't because they've looked at it and for whatever reason, they just don't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of stuff is character driven now, where it's like even zombie games, movies and stuff, it's all about the characters. You know what I mean? It's not about the zombies anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing, Abzi. It reminds me a little bit of the evolution, if you want to say it in that way, from like the TV show Breaking Bad into Better Call Saul, where it's all about the characters and way less about like the action. And I think a lot of stuff is moving towards that direction.
I mean, modern storytelling, they tend to lean more to character-driven stuff.
Character.
Yeah, with COD, I was surprised. I don't know. I was surprised. 3,000 is a lot.
It is. I mean, like, what are they doing? Like, there's no way it's just going to be like a cut and paste.
It can't
like,
be because it's 8 hours. Most of their games are. The reason why I say it's a lot is because you have the two facets of it. You've got at minimum your 6 to 8 hour campaign
story,
right? Yeah. And you've
what
got
if, what if?
Hang on. And you've got minimum your multiplayer, right? And at minimum, you maybe have some modes. 3,000 people is a tremendous number of people to be working on something that we haven't seen at all. It hasn't blossomed. It's 3,000 at pretty much at the start, which is what interests me. What are they doing that requires... And by the way, I think it'd be great if we are surprised. And it's...
What if they move away from like the 8 hour story thing and do like, hey, this is a huge 16
or 20 single...
Yeah, or just like a single player fucking like kind of an RPG or open world or something.
Reg,
I don't know.
What was that one game where they you zoomed in and each person died? Was that Battlefield? Where they had this, the vignettes?
You zoomed was that the, in and
you zoomed in on the new character. Then you played him for a while. Then he died.
Battlefield 1.
Was that Battlefield 1, not 5, that was 1 after 5? Like all that weird naming shit? Okay.
1 after 4 before 5,
What if they do not a vignette, but they do... Like, the new COD, if they were like, dude, we're going to do 16 hours of a real story, like, a real story. That could be... It could be pretty interesting. 3,000 is just a lot of people on a game that we're
can't be just how many
it has to be like just tangential, like people who are tangentially involved as well,
but I mean still 3,000 is like what are you looking at? Maybe another mode, maybe something that we're not expecting. Like what if they do a co-op that's completely separate from the single player or something with its own story? You know, you could do some crazy stuff. Maybe it's future stuff too. Maybe it's they're all games for service now, right? All the COD games are technically games as a service.
Yeah, so. I guess you can call it that, yeah.
I mean,
well, for the 1 year they live until the next one
comes
out.
Usually.
Except
that's the problem.
Modern Warfare is the one that like kept, it's still going. It's surpassing the other two that came out. I don't know if it's because the other two were not as good, or, I mean, Warzone.
When you
is
say other two, own... can we clarify? Do you mean Blops?
So after, after Modern Warfare, there was Vanguard and there was Cold War, I believe. And people are still enjoying Modern Warfare more to this day.
It's a mess. I'll tell you that much. It's a mess because I've asked you guys every time which one we're talking about.
Yeah, because the new one coming out was Modern Warfare 2, and there was already a Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
It was a Modern Warfare 2 remaster, and now it's 2. So
I'll tell you what, though. I'm happy. 3,000 people are getting paid. Working on something. I'm just gonna cross my
plus with the Microsoft
cross that, my lips cross my fingers that those turn out good and that people want to play it.
And the Microsoft acquisition as well, like who knows what that'll change.
Microsoft. Oh my god, I forgot. I literally forgot. Versus $5 super chat question for Jordan. What's your most favorite game in terms of narrative and writing?
Oh god, oh no.
Yeah, call somebody out. Call somebody out. We should have said, what's your worst? No, don't, by the way. Anyway, what's a game where you were like, the writing in this is just chef's kiss?
I think, all right, so I'll give two. I would say like the overall, I mean, I could just talk about Yakuza all day. I think Yakuza Zero is just like a perfect game, especially as like a prequel. They're like, oh, we did all the other games. We're going to do a prequel now.
Yeah.
It's great just because the main story is just so damn good and serious and I'm crying during it. And then I'm playing side quests where I'm teaching like a dominatrix how to be mean to a dude, you know?
Yes,
it's just like,
dude.
It's just so good. Every element of those games are great. And it's like, Kiryu is just like, you know, just kicks ass, but then it's just like teaching people like to accept themselves and everything. It's great. But for like the writing, I would say like for the craft itself, like Disco Elysium is insane.
Yes. Good
and
fucking
I think,
answers, man.
I think
Disco Elysium is a good answer.
In a way, it doesn't feel like game writing, right? It feels like a novel is turned into a game.
Yeah.
And it just, that game makes me so angry because it's so damn good. And you could give me 10 years right now and I would come up with something that's like 20% as good as what they did in Disco Elysium. It's just every single sentence in that game is fucking perfect.
Man, yes, dude. Oh, man. I kind of never want to play it again because I got like the perfect ending with just like the everything was perfect. Then I'm like, fuck, dude. Yeah, those are really good answers. And like Yakuza 0, introducing the bosses and everything, it was just everything.
You know what blows
me
away about Yakuza too? Mm-hmm. They not sometimes shared characters, sometimes not. Then they turn around and do Judgment, which is a completely different tact and darker and more serious, and it still nailed it. And to me, became my favorite. Actually, I actually like Judgment and Lost Judgment more, I think. And even though I love Yakuza, but I wasn't a big fan of Like a Dragon as much. There were some parts I loved and some parts I didn't. I don't know. It was a little uneven for me. But regardless, those guys know the way to do a dichotomy and make you serious for 1 second, then not. And even in Judgment, when it went more serious, I was like, here we go. And then you're taking pictures of cats and you're like, yeah, what am I doing? Like, what? But you get up, you just get lost. You're for some
dude,
reason.
I would be
works.
In tears. Like, yeah, because like I'd be in
laughing,
tears. And then. No, like crying, yeah, because whatever. Something. And then in the next fucking moment, I'd be laughing my ass off because, you know, it's crazy.
I think what's crazy is that, like, it's the only series I can think of that for so many games, they're like, it's the same map, basically.
I know. I know, dude.
And, like, the map isn't even that big. It's really
small. It's small.
Yet every time I'm just like, hell yeah, it's Kamurocho.
Kamurocho.
Like, I'm stoked to be back. I know where shit is. Some stuff is new, but it's like, I know where the bowling alley is. I know where the batting cage is, right? Like, And the games are long too, so you spend so much time on those streets. But like, it's like the fourth game now where I'm just like, same streets, still love them. Yep. And that's insane.
And then wait until you get to 5, and then they fucking just wait until you get to 5.
What was the one that Reg played where we were like shaking the baby at the start?
That was 6.
We were so shocked by what that game. 6 was out there, man. 6 was out there.
At least those 6 had full voice acting for everything. So that's a plus.
It's a big plus. Speaking of voice acting. For everything, man. To jump to something real quick, let's talk about Warhammer. So I've been playing a bunch of Warhammer even after I beat it. Dude, they have a novelist, the main novelist of all the Warhammer novels, writing this story. And they didn't put full voice acting. They do the one sentence voice acting out of the entire paragraph. And I got to tell you, man, if I was that writer, I would have been so pissed. Because you just skip it once you hear the sentence. It doesn't matter. I love Warhammer. Their prose and narrative are so like goofy, emo, 17-year-old eyeliner. I don't care. I like that shit. And he writes stuff really well. And then you have a character say one thing. And by the way, Andy Serkis, guy who does Gollum, is in the game. And even his sometimes are one-liners. And you're just like, maybe it was money. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was
very
just,
likely.
Yeah, most likely. Maybe, yeah.
It just sucks, man. It's like you're sitting there going like, oh man, this guy's saying something and it's going to matter. And you're starting to read it. And then he stops talking and then you're reading. And then you go, did the game glitch? What's going on? And then you realize you have another paragraph. And I was just like, damn it. Voice acting is so important to me, man. It's become like such, that's why when I was playing, I couldn't get Trek to Yuma to do English voiceovers at all. I don't know if I had a glitch, what happened, but it's in there, and I had the retail version, so I listened to it all in Japanese. Now I don't understand Japanese, and I'm not an anime fan who says this makes sense. Like, people sounded mad, but I don't understand Japanese, so I have fucking no clue. Could have been terrible, but it worked pretty well. But I would have loved to have had the English one so that I could bounce off and say people who can't read as quickly as they want to. Also, the captions, I think, are really ugly in that game, which I think really was shocking that where the captions were and how they popped up in that game. It messed the aesthetic up. Voice acting is important. I want it in every game, man. Go ahead.
I find for my part, I mean, for me, it might just be all my years of playing Japanese role-playing games, but where there often is just like the
one sentence,
the initial
or one word.
Like word or
oh!
like, often not even like a word. Yeah, often it's just like an exclamation or something. Yeah, from like the character, and then you get the dialogue. So I'm so used to it that the character gets a voice inside my head.
Your own voice.
That it works. Yeah, that it works for me.
Sometimes I enjoy while the text is writing, you hear like...
No,
I prefer
no.
that.
Animal Crossing.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that, man. I
But you see, it's funny because I prefer that, Abzi, to just the first word because it's so canned. When it's the first word, you know, they've recorded like 20 like words, right? And they reuse them in different places. And sometimes it's not even the right word. It's like, oh, and she's saying something different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they just used that pre-canned thing there.
Character wakes up actually... amputated. Oh, and you're like, dude, that was a wrong response.
One thing,
thing
that bothered me was Pillars of Eternity. There'd be voice acting, but before the sentence or after, it'd be like, you know, her face just like, you know, she was sweating or something. And I don't have time to read it. So I was like, she was sweating. And then they'd start and they'd say one sentence and then stop and like, oh, is it my turn to read?
Let me tell you guys a game that did it well, though. Yeah. Weird West. They did the thing where it sounded like a dream. Where
that one was cool.
That was cool. And you're all, is this supposed to be like demonic? That worked for me. I don't want the Animal Crossing. I'm like, no.
I didn't mind it, but I guess.
Terrible. Reg, you play a lot of really shit games. What do you think about this?
Wow.
I'm teasing. But you play a lot of these kind of games. Does that bother you? Does it?
It
like Tales and stuff.
I like full voice acting. That's definitely preferred. But otherwise, first sentence also is fine. I just really don't like when it's silent. Like Final Fantasy 14, for example, most of the quests, when it's not the main quest, it's just...
Oh, yeah.
Really is this one of the big changes?
Is it just plops? It just plops out the text?
So there is a lot of that in the main story. One of the hugest one of the biggest upgrades in the expansions is like almost full voice acting,
but only in
most
story.
Of the cutscenes.
Only in the main story. Though. If you do like massive side story quest, some of them are really fucking good. They just never have voice acting for some reason.
Chablis plays
just text Elysium,
at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Not a fan of just text at the bottom. Well, okay, so you did
and their mouths moving. They'd be like.
So Reg, you did the Tales games. Did they start out with? How did they?
No, Tails
full voice acting.
No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even for the old ones.
Yes.
That's cool. That to me
the devolved, the newest ones don't have full voice acting anymore.
I was just gonna say because did not Tales of Arise have some parts where they were not full?
Well, voice Tales acting? Of Arise only side quests. Some side quests don't have voice acting, but dude, there's so much voice acting. Like you'd be walking and then they'd give you the thing where you have to press RB. And they talk to each other, like all of that.
Oh, yeah. It's better than Xenoblade 2, where they repeat the same shit in like 12 kilobyte
and 20 times at the same time. Yeah.
And you're like, that's a Sega Genesis, man. Real quick, I want to do a super chat. Somebody gave us a Czar, $70, 70 Czar, whatever that is. I'm assuming that's like an intergalactic money amount.
Yeah. Old Czar.
He just said, wanted to say hello and chip in a bit. Smiley face. Much love to all here. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. Voice acting in games, man, it's cool. It's like hearing Reg talk about an old game that had voice acting. That's, I think, what I got spoiled on because it's always been a big deal. Like when Space Harrier died and he said, get ready, or Altered Beast, Rise from Your Graves. Those were the first games I played. So I wanted that. And remember, those weren't voices. They were MIDIs that were like somebody pretending a voice. But it's been such a big deal to me with artificial intelligence coming on now. We're starting to see people looking at using that, which I admit that will put people out of job. You know, there's the job aspect, but I'm just talking about the tech aspect. I like voice. When I play a game, man, and I hit that button, they don't talk. My entire idea of what's going to happen sort of has to be readjusted. And I understand money.
There's sometimes, the budget issue. Like Pillars of Eternity 1, when they went to Pillars of Eternity 2 and voiced everything, it felt like there was less... You know what I mean? And there were less choices and stuff. So I think that plays a role where budget...
It plays a role all the time. I mean, it's not cheap if you use an actor, for sure. And it's not cheap, probably, regardless. But...
Like, the writing took a hit a little bit. Like, not the writing itself, maybe, but the amount of options.
I think that 2 also went very PC versus 1. 2 maybe. Had a lot of almost like political stances it was taking. And it... that
it was a more political game because there were factions...
What were you going to say, Silver?
I mean, you have to remember, it's not just the actor you're paying for. You're also paying for booking like a recording studio often and whatnot. Yeah. And mm-hmm. all the logistical stuff that goes into recording sessions as well.
Let's talk about money.
And then again, as
or not.
As discussed, sorry, you also have like localization.
Yeah, well, Jordan said that's a huge deal.
One actor, yeah. Mm-hmm. So not only do you have to get one actor, you then have to get multiple actors in multiple languages as well.
And with protagonists and RPGs, like you want your character to sound like something you want, like you made. If you made like a dwarf that is kind of like a rogue, you want him to sound different than like a warrior, you know, a human guy or something, you know?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. That's an issue with me, like with like an RPG that lets you create your own character, but is voiced.
Or has three voices.
Yeah.
I am angry. I am not angry. I'm sarcastic.
And then change the pitch. Yeah.
Or they sarcastic. Change the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right. I want to talk about money for a second. Square sold their developments. Most of their Western side, they kept Life is Strange. Correct me if I'm wrong. They kept Outriders. We know those two. They sold a huge number of defunct as well as currently live, like Tomb Raider IPs. Who'd they sell it to? Embracer Group.
And Deus Ex, right?
And Deus Ex. Embracer Group just needs to change their logo to a giant hugging. Like, I said that when I did the video. I'm like, this is stupid. The name is perfect. But those guys have got every game under the sun, it appears like. And we're starting to see some, like, hints. There was a couple hints for different games. I think we would all agree that we'd like to see a Legacy of Kain. Maybe.
If they could get her, Anne on it. I forget her name. The chief actress? Writer on it. No, the chief writer on it. The one who wrote Legacy of Kain.
I don't know.
Amy Hennig.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. She's not going to be on it because she's now deep in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Did they keep Sleeping Dogs or not? Because all I want is a Sleeping Dogs 2. I've wanted that since the first one badly.
Right.
I want a new Deus Ex, like a good one, like a long good.
I mean,
one.
Here's the thing: what I was getting to is just that there's a lot of good games that could come out of it.
Oh mm-hmm. God, yeah.
You are. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sleeping Dogs 2. I think multiple people wanted that. I don't know how Sleeping Dogs 1 sold. Sleeping Dogs 1 used a lot of professional actors.
So oh, yeah.
There's a good chance that they sunk that.
There was a hot redhead.
Yeah, Tom Wilkinson, man.
Emma
Stone.
Stone was in it, but so wasn't Kelly Hu also in it? Wasn't like there was a lot of actors.
I mean, Tom Wilkinson was the main villain. No.
Tom Wilkinson was
yeah,
in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you look at, I personally think Legacy of Kain is probably your best bet. And the reason why is because they've already messed around with Darksiders. They did 3, they did Genesis. It seems like they're that sort of type of game fits for them. I could see a Legacy of Kain for sure being like one of the first ones. Thief, I don't know, because Thief 4 did 2014 did terribly.
I don't. If they were to make another Thief game, I would want it to be completely different or something else. Like not Garrett. Don't use Garrett. Just move on.
But I mean, well, that's one thing. But I'm talking about the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Just the game itself. I mean, how do you go about fixing all of the stuff that they sort of fucked over? Like, do you hire?
Well, you just make it entirely different.
Do you hire Microsoft to let you borrow Arcane to write it? Or what do you, I mean, I don't know. Just seems like they're lost on that. Legacy of Kain fits. What else do we got?
Oh, a new Thief would be amazing. Like a good one though. Fuck.
You mean?
I thought Thief, the reboot was okay as a stealth game.
It was okay, yeah.
But that was because I was able to separate it and view it as not a Thief game as such, just right. A stealth game. And then in that capacity, I found it all right. Like mm-hmm. It gave you a lot of options and for customizing your experience, your stealth experience, the way you wanted it, like the difficulty options and stuff.
Anybody watching? Are there any? Are there any IPs I'm missing? Because I'm sure I'm missing some. I think 50. I think the number I read was 50 IPs. It changed hands here.
So. Yeah, I don't know if they were named at all.
I don't think they were, man. Yeah, yeah. And Embracer Group, you know, I've covered, everybody knows I follow Embracer Group pretty religiously. Winifort cracks me up. I love that he was just open and was like, we aren't spending a bunch on games. We're going to make some games, but they ain't going to be great. We're just going to make some money from them. I like that because I can deal with that. I'm a big AA game fan. And so the being open is a plus to me. He did state we do want to try AAA, but I don't know what their version of I said this in the video. Since AAA means nothing, remember this, everybody. AAA does mean nothing. it means nothing. There is no actual, there's nothing that AAA means. It doesn't mean, it means a certain amount of money to one group than it does to another. There's nothing there.
Or it's like the size of the company, or it's like the number of people.
But it's not, there's no number.
Right.
There's no like line. Is Call of Duty 5A?
Usually people go by like, okay, it's a $60 game, so it means it's AAA.
Right. That's usually how it goes. But that's changed too. Because is Sony's games now at $70 quadruple A? Are they three?
Fucking,
plus,
I don't know, man. That quadruple A shit was so stupid.
So the reason why I bring all this up is if you look at these, their idea of AAA, if you double their AA price and say that's a AAA game, it's still much less than most other AAAs. But I would love to see their version of a AAA Legacy of Kain. I think that would be.
Right.
I don't want to see more of Destroy All Humans. I'm sorry, but that was not great. Darksiders 3 was pretty blah. Darksiders Genesis I thought was fantastic because I think that they knew what they were doing with that game. And in a way, not copying the other Darksiders games allowed them to say, what do we want to do here? And that worked. So in a way, what Silver said about Thief, that's sort of maybe it will work for them if they do something different. Or it's like, you know, is it like Winter Ember? Even though Winter
Ember. That's the cool thing about Darksiders. Each one has like a different
feel
thing.
Well, one was Zelda, wasn't it? Two that was like basically Dark Legend of Zelda. I mean,
yeah, one was like more of a linear thing, and then two was like, okay, hub world Zelda dungeons and fuck yeah, it was really good. But then three was like, okay, we're gonna make it a Souls like.
Yeah, what do you guys? Any IPs? Feel free to look it up on Google if you guys can find what other IPs are involved, but. Mm-hmm. Embracer has so many defunct IPs, guys. They are sitting on, not No One Lives Forever, unfortunately, but they're sitting on some of the most classic. I mean, they're sitting on Thief. Do you go and ask what's his name to come back? Warren Spector. Yeah, I mean, do you just go and say, I mean, Warren, because he was doing System Shock, right? And then they passed that on, I believe.
Yeah, so, I mean, he did System Shock, then Deus Ex, and then...
He was working on the new remake for a little while. He was actually working for a little bit. Spectre was working on one of the remakes and then passed that on.
Yeah, he made Deadly Shadows, like Thief 3. That was Spectre.
Right, but I'm talking about the remakes recently, ones that aren't even out yet. He actually... I was reading up on what he was doing, and he was actually helping on the initial startings of these remakes. So he's still interested, is all I was getting to.
Oh, right, well, System Shock and... Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was System Shock. I could be wrong, but his name popped up. And so it's like, dude, what if Embracer was like, let's do this, man. Let's go.
I mean, that would be great.
Or Ken Levine, even though Ken's probably going to redo the game.
Warren makes interesting games. I mean, Epic Mickey, interesting game.
Dude,
Epic Mickey.
People didn't expect that. It was just a super interesting game. So that would be cool, man. It seems here everybody's saying that they would love... Yeah, Deus Ex is probably the number one thing we're seeing. But I think that's also because we came out of Cyberpunk. We were cyberpunked. And
cyberpunked.
We were punked. And the idea of the cybernetic first-person shooter is hot, whether it be Shadowrun, which I'm just going to mention multiple times.
We did just get one released. What was it called? On Steam. First person shooter, like really action paced cyberpunk game. It was actually on the Steam front page.
We're not talking about Bright Memory, are we?
No.
I didn't think you were.
It's the one where you have a chainsaw for one of your legs.
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name, but
power sliding and stuff.
I don't know, but power sliding with a chainsaw on your leg sounds like the best move ever made.
It's like Doom-like, but yeah, you can slide with a chainsaw.
Oh, shit, yeah, you're right. We did get that. We did. I did see that, yeah. Turbo Overkill,
yeah.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, so they've got a lot of IPs, man. Embracer Group, and you can't really complain. You can, but you hear a lot of complaints about consolidation, right, with console manufacturers, Sony and Microsoft buying, but this isn't them. This is a company that's their job. That's their thing. So, any from you, Reg? Any you want to see?
No, I'm just baffled by how big Embracer Group is.
Are you looking right now? Is it not crazy? Do they say how much it's worth?
Not how much it's worth, but they have 14,000 employees after the acquisition.
Yep.
Spread around in 124 studios working on 230 games.
Wow.
25 being their version of AAA, too. But unfortunately, 2026, 2027 released. Not,
and they don't really see any games. They only say about one studio that they're working on like mobile versions of popular IPs, and that's
Well, remember they've bought people don't realize, because it doesn't get announced, they bought a ton of mobile IP, a ton of mobile companies and IPs. I think that's smart too, because as we saw,
make money.
Well, but also Warhammer showed a definitive positive, this recent Warhammer game, by using a mobile developer to make a desktop game, because they had movement down and they had some things down that maybe desktop developers maybe have a little bit more difficulty with, or are used to having unlimited budgets. And those mobile guys are like, dude, we don't have an unlimited budget. So I don't know. I'm excited, man. Hitman Go was awesome. Did you guys ever play Hitman Go?
Yeah, that is one of the studios they list.
What about the Tomb Raider shooter? I mentioned that in my Guardians of Light.
They made two of those.
Yeah. Those were good.
The isometric ones.
So, what if they did like that? I think that was on Steam, though. I think it did come to Steam, the Tomb Raider one. But regardless, somebody says it's worth 74 billion krona, which I don't know what that, you know, means in dollars, but big.
I can convert.
I think that's maybe $10 billion, maybe around there.
Microsoft will buy them tomorrow. Microsoft will be bored. What do you think about? Does this ever hit you, Jordan, with consolidation? We talk about it a lot here. Where do you track consolidation of companies under other companies? Is that something that ever even impacts you?
I mean, I keep up with it just because it's good to know who's under what now.
Yeah.
I think I'm far more okay with companies who aren't doing picking up every single studio and making it exclusive
for their platform.
At some point, then it's like you have two companies owning every single IP, and it's just like, you know. But I mean, it can affect you. But I know some places will want a lot of input on what you make then after they buy. I think from everything I know about Embracer, they're pretty much just like, yeah, we just like games and want it to make money off games, so you guys just keep doing what you're doing, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah,
and that's great.
Been good to hear Microsoft's been that way as well. We'll have to see if that continues. Speaking of moving on from here, you guys saw that, man. Outriders, $0, zero profit.
Yeah, they did not make a profit with Outriders.
Man, feels bad, dude.
Let me push something out here real quick so that we can just get it out and we can move on from this part of the stupid conversation. Somebody said that was because of Game Pass. I can tell you right now, if Game Pass had sold quadruple the number of titles for that, it wouldn't have made up for the dearth of sales everywhere else. It has nothing to do with Game Pass. That could have helped them if there was more sales, but we don't know exactly how that went.
The game was just not good enough.
It reviewed poorly and it got played very poorly. They quadrupled their numbers to 4,000 people concurrent when their new DLC came out, from 900 to 1,000 playing. For a massive game like that, that's less, by the way, than DC Universe Online, which is 13 years old.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you gotta come to terms with if we're not gonna, come on, dude. They had cut pace, just shooting gallery after shooting gallery. You have to come to terms with if we're not gonna actually, make our game unique or make it good, we're just not gonna sell enough. You know, you can't keep blaming Game Pass. Oh well, you know, microtransactions. You know, sometimes it's just how good something is.
Maybe it doesn't hit at the right time too.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it.
Isn't it? Yeah, timing. People, Battlefield, we saw it, Titanfall, and what was the one that released at the same time? And everybody was like, what are you, Titanfall 2?
Battlefield and Titanfall. Battlefield. Because they were totally separate.
Pass the ball, brother.
Horizon, Zero Dawn releasing before Zelda, and then the new one releasing before Elden Ring.
Which one?
Horizons, yeah.
There's some amount of luck too, right? Because some stuff seems to almost randomly pick up in popularity. Yes. Like some games, we talked about Valheim, and I enjoyed playing Valheim, you know, but when you put on paper, the stuff that it does differently from all the other, you know,
it's just that it did a lot builders of stuff. Right.
And I gotcha, but none of those were different to me.
They weren't. I'm not saying every game has to be completely unique.
But I'm just trying to give an example. Maybe it's not a best one, but
no, that's a good example. Saying you were surprised it did well.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised that it did that well, because yes, it did, you know, those things well, adequately, let's say. Mm-hmm. But is that really how low the bar is in that genre? That as long as you do the things we already know, okay,
yes,
we're happy.
Yeah, I mean that yes, genre doesn't have that. Many good. Yeah, yeah, it doesn't have all these early access like survival games.
Also,
they're pretty trash.
I'm just gonna say it. Vikings were in at that time.
Yes,
and there was Valhalla, people there was do not Valheim. Understand the zeitgeist of a TV show. Two TV shows at that. Well, one TV show, another TV show coming at that time.
True.
Either coming off or coming onto it. Plus, you got Northman, which came up here recently, which was one. It was a big thing for Valhalla. And Valhalla. I'm telling you, there is a knock-on effect where there's a knock-on effect, man. It just, that's all you have to say. You know that did play into it.
Norse mythology got pretty big. Norse especially mythology got big. God of War and shit. Yeah, like
yeah, everybody. Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, God of War probably more so than even... And even Valhalla, where people like an art style and they're like, oh, is this got the art style a little bit like God of War? Oh, and they just, it's a thing, man.
There's like stuff like Among Us, you know, some random streamer will play it and randomly those two devs would be like, holy fuck, dude, we made $1 billion out of nowhere.
That's a good example of lucky, right? They they couldn't predict.
Because they weren't doing well, or they weren't doing amazing, right?
And then, Nobody paid for advertisement. Literally, Soda Pop and found the game, was like, hey, I'm going to play that because it looks kind of goofy. And then it became like a cultural phenomenon.
And also probably backed up by that it worked.
Yes.
Right? Because technical stuff will push. I mean, if you can't log in, then remember, what was the one, not Ark? What was the pirate one that the Ark devs tried to do? That disastrous launch.
Oh my God.
It's called Ark. Yeah.
No, it's not called Ark. Pirates of Ark.
No, not Ark.
It was the Pirates.
It was the other one. Yeah, yeah. There was Ark Evolved or whatever, and then there was... What was it called?
Atlas.
Atlas. Yes, thank you, Necro.
There we go. Did it implode completely?
I mean, I don't know. It was trash as fuck, dude.
What happened with that?
I have no idea.
I mean, it was trash.
The trailer. Did you see the difference between the trailer and the actual gameplay?
Oh, yeah, dude.
You guys remember when Ark, man, I was playing Ark, you know, at 3 FPS on my Xbox original. And I enjoyed the hell out of Ark because it was just so goofy. They had so much stuff in Ark, too. That's another thing. Ark just had content. But Atlas, you couldn't even get to the content. You couldn't even sign in. And I got to tell you, man, people just don't, they don't give it a say. If you can't sign in.
You can't sign in and take a prisoner and have someone shit so that they can fertilizer for you.
Fertilizer for your dinosaur.
I mean, that might have flown like 20 years ago when there wasn't another game to like immediately go to.
Exactly. The content.
Especially.
But the market now is so saturated that, there's no leeway there.
Pump and jump. What were you going to say, Jordan?
I would say, especially with like when streamers are a big part of it, they're always like a lot of them that do variety are looking for the next big thing right away. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, they're playing it for 2 days and they want to keep playing it and then, tech issues come, they have to find something else to play that day. And then maybe they never go back to get their game. Then their chat never sees it again. Like, nowadays streamers are huge for that sort of stuff and finding those indie games that suddenly blow up. And now it's like they sold 1 million copies and they probably would have been happy with like 50,000, right? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, especially with what they're doing now with like Valorant and Overwatch, where it's like, watch this streamer and you get a beta key after like this many hours.
God, I'm a sucker for that stuff. It gets me.
Yeah, I have like streams open and just people on the run.
I mean, you also have like, I mean, for me, one of the biggest examples is DayZ, like as the mod for Arma 2, where all of a sudden Arma 2 Operation Arrowhead becomes like a top selling, like the top selling game on Steam. Because of the DayZ mod, which wasn't, I don't think that was even really a question of streaming at that point, because streaming wasn't huge back then, like in 2013, I think it was.
2013 when Justin TV started like popping up.
It was just sort of, it caught the zeitgeist of like zombies, because that was the early onset of the zombie avalanche of games, where they sort of started with Left 4 Dead and then DayZ and then sort of, they just started coming out.
Streaming was a lot smaller. I know there's one streamer who actually I still watch today who like that's I think kind of how he blew up was DayZ mod Lyric.
And
he's still on Twitch
Lyric.
And he's been doing it for a long time. But, like that is what blew him up.
He was doing role playing,
playing it, and he would go hardcore role playing, and people just ate that shit up. And
one of my friends was actually with him, like role playing with him in Arma. But yeah, good times.
You just tell I totally fucking hate these
Arma.
Not Arma. I like Arma, but all these, the pop and pump kind of get, like it, this. Oh, I'm like not Valorant into Twitch. I'm not into people like leaping on. I don't like it when like a variety streamer grabs a game for 2 days because either it's going to be bad or good, and it's going to be artificially sold or it's going to be artificially not artificially hammered. But it's going to be hammered, and a lot of times I just don't feel it's any way an accurate form of like what the game is. And then I see some devs who have really good games that, oh, they didn't get picked up because the streamer got paid $50,000 to stream this shit game when they could have streamed a good game. And so that game didn't get picked up. It just sucks. I mean, it's life, but it's just my brain detaches because it ruins the excitement, like the burn I get for a good game. It ruins it because it becomes this weird clinical thing. And Everspace 1 had that. I talk about it all the time where they got it to the wrong influencers. We just had no clue what it was, and the CEO was so mad at the PR company. He was like, why would you have ever given it to this person who's like, oh, stupid? Like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, not that a person can't say it's stupid, but they didn't even know what they were playing. They had no clue. I think that's gone the way of the dodo, though. Most of the time you have to know. As a PR company won't work. Reg, yeah. I want to talk about streaming because I have a problem with this. So, GeForce Now, right? You found out they're enabling 4K streaming for desktop PCs.
Yep.
120 for a handful of current high-end mobile devices. What does that mean?
Yep.
Like your best
phones?
Well,
so far it was a very limited set of phones, and they added like four or five new models that they now can do 120 streams. Like I think the Samsung 22 and stuff like that. So the current gen.
Okay. And they're going to have the 3080 Ti in the desktop that are in your stream. You're streaming from their version.
Well, only the 3080 tier has those features.
Okay. I see. That makes sense. Okay. Cause I was a little confused.
That way around. Like you have the free tier, the $10 tier and the $20 tier. And the 4K and 120 streams is only for the $20 tier.
Have you tried any of these?
No, I've only done the free tier recently, and that's it.
Jordan, do you stream?
No, I used to back in the day, and then stopped, and then tried again and stopped, and yeah.
Is anybody else doing any streaming from GeForce or Xbox or anything like
that? So, not at the moment. The
reason why I bring it up, man, is I have... Oh, wait, somebody did a super chat. I want to bring this up because I have a complaint with this. Chambers, $10 super chat. Just a quick howdy do to everybody and a quick question for Abzi. Are you still digging King Arthur?
Yeah, I'm still being a tyrannical non-Christian.
In the Christian game.
Trying to kill King Arthur. Yeah, it's a good game.
So
there's also another one we didn't get to from Calvin Campbell a bit further back. Question for
okay,
all.
Well,
what do you think
I'll read that in a second. Sorry. When talking about streaming, the reason why I bring it up is I don't know what's going on, man. I don't know if it's the new tablet or what. But, dude, Xbox streaming's resolution is like 50p. And I don't is going on.
I thought it was the Steam Deck.
No. It's killing my soul. I don't know what they've done, but it is bad. It went from I was having a Premiere experience, I was playing a ton of games on there, to... It's bad. I've gone in and checked all my settings. I'm on the same systems, but I've gone in and rechecked. So you're having it on, you noticed it on the Steam Deck?
Yeah, I put the version on the Steam Deck and tried Forza Horizon, and it was very low res.
What the? I only tried it once because I just put it on my Steam Deck and loaded up Yakuza 3 on it, and it looked great. So I don't know.
Okay, so maybe there's an upgrade happening or something like that. Okay, that's good to know because I thought it was like a, you know, a backwards down or a behind the scenes downgrade or something. I have to take care of a dog thing. Silver, can you read Calvin's message and talk about it?
Yeah.
And I'm going to take care.
Yeah, question for all. What do you think about the benefits of gaming for people with long-term illnesses like sickle cell and dealing with pain?
What do I think about it or...
Yeah, I think he means like gaming as a potential like treatment or like escape or distraction. Something. Yeah, okay. Which I mean that's something I can speak to, given chronic pain. That's something I frequently use gaming for, is something to like focus my mind on. Particularly, that's one of the reasons why I love Tetris so much, because it's able to just sort of put my mind in that zone where it's sort of outside of like the constant pain that my body is in. So it's definitely part of that. It's definitely part of why gaming has been such a huge part of my life from very, very young age, because it's able to sort of to distract and focus my brain on things outside of pain. And it's been effective for me largely. It's one of the reasons why I don't use a lot of painkillers is Sam. The fact that I'm able to refocus my mind through stuff like gaming.
Yeah, I mean, in 2018, I also suffered from like general anxiety and depression. And I was having psychological pain, I guess, where I felt real pain, but it wasn't. Red Dead 2 had just come out, and I like just spent my whole time in there, 160 hours, and it, you know, got my mind off things. And it was a great, great kind of therapeutic experience.
Yeah, same as you. A lot of like anxiety, depression shit. And it's like, a lot of stuff that, yeah, manifests physically and like nothing's actually wrong, but your brain's like, it is. So it feels like,
yeah, you'd go to the hospital every time and it's like, dude, like, what is wrong with me now?
Am I gonna actually, I've had like 3 appointments this week. We're trying to figure it out. It's probably nothing, but it sure feels like it. When you have something to focus on, it's like, you know, I'll be like focusing on my breathing, cause it's like, oh, I can't breathe cause anxiety. And then like, I would hop into Elden Ring and then be like, oh, I've actually been fine for the last 3 hours. Like,
yeah,
it's great that games can do that. Right. Like,
yeah.
Oh, for sure.
That's almost a meditative quality when you think about it, because like a mindfulness meditation, which is the most common that people do, is effectively just pay attention to something to the extent that you can't be distracted.
Yeah,
right.
And
normally it's the breath, because that's kind of the go-to object of focus, but nobody tells you can't do that with a game or music, right? Whatever. But in this case, we're talking about games. And if you're really focused in a game for 3 hours, and I have this with League, for, you know, maybe not 3 hours, but if I'm doing a two-hour block or something, it is kind of meditative because you're focused in that.
Yeah.
And then you come out of it like, oh, okay, I wasn't, you know, having all the diatribe of thoughts and thought patterns that that I was having before. For sure.
Yeah, I will say like gaming got me through a bunch of tough times.
Right.
Lost in MMOs. I think MMOs usually really hit it for me.
Oh, yeah.
But massive games.
As with everything else, and as with painkillers, it is something like, if you are someone with like chronic pain or similar, it is something you have to manage. You have to learn how to manage in terms of balancing it, like you have to do with taking painkillers and stuff, because it can be very, very easy to just, because it's easier to be inside the game than it is sometimes being in real life. It can be easy to just all of a sudden you've lost 12 hours now or something like that. And so you have to be very, very careful with that as well. And you have to be able to learn how to manage that and keep and maintain some sort of balance with it.
And I think too, Silver, like for some of us that have, you know, some form of disability, to be able to play a game and, you know, experience something like, you know, even though it's not the real thing, but like fucking running a mountain, right? Or like
unquestionably
jumping off, like doing athletic stuff that maybe you can't do.
I will say it helps to better than any prescribed medicine I've gotten for my anxiety.
I mean, you're completely right, Johnny, because that was one of the things I talked about with Death Stranding when it came out.
For sure. Yeah, for me,
I loved it so much, was just being able to go hiking and just walking for miles through these desolate landscapes in ways I would not be able to do physically myself. But I could through the character of Sam Porter Bridges.
Like lately I'm doing like Dwarf Romantic, like my before bed game right now, because it's just so chilled. It's like the light music, little sounds, and just like, doesn't matter if I like lose or whatever, I'm just making a cool looking sort of city, and then it just like redo it. It's just like so fucking calming. It's just so nice.
The Stardew Valley is another game that's really great for that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I even used like Anno 1800 as well. I like honed in on that.
Okay.
Dude, just try it, Carrick, man.
I did try it. It was a disaster.
He did. That's why he...
speaking of all this stuff, one of the things we always have is a section where we talk about the free games, the upgraded games, and then the indie game of the week. So, Reg, free games.
Yeah. All right. Free game, free for everyone. Epic Games Store, first, Terraforming Mars. On to subscription games, Xbox Game Pass for console has Citizen Sleeper, Trek to Yomi, Loot River, and coming next week, Danganronpa 2, Goodbye Despair Anniversary Edition, Euden Chronicle Rising, This War of Mine Final Cut Version, and NHL 22. PC Game Pass has Trek to Yomi as well and Loot River as well. And coming next week, Danganronpa 2, Euden Chronicle Rising, and This War of Mine. Xbox Games with Gold, Hydro Thunder Hurricane, the 360 version, and Yoko's Island Express, the Xbox One version. PlayStation Now has Blasphemous, Naruto Shippuden, Ultimate Ninja Storm 4, Soul Calibur 4, and hang on. That was PlayStation Now. PlayStation Plus has Curse of the Dead Gods, FIFA 22, and Tribes of Midgard. Prime Gaming, so that's Twitch, has Cat Quest, The Curse of Monkey Island, Dead Space 2, Mail Mole, Out of Line, and Shattered, Tale of the Forgotten King. And last, Stadia Pro, Kaze and the Wild Masks, Lumode, The Master Mode Chronicles, Outriders, and Paw Patrol, the movie, Adventure City Calls. That's the end.
Fox has got
Cat
some good
Quest.
Ones.
Is that the one we no. played, Reg?
Oh, sorry. I thought you
yes,
were going to say
it,
is it the other one?
Is the prequel of the one we played. We played Cat Quest 2.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Yeah, that was cute.
Well, not prequel. It's the first one. That's yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Anybody, are there any titles on there anybody hasn't played that they might pick up because they're free?
Sleeper.
Yeah. Got good reviews.
Euden Chronicles Rising is not yet either.
I was going to buy that one anyways, and then I saw it was going to be free. And I was like, sweet.
Oh, in 4 days.
You what?
Euden Chronicles Rising is out in 4 days.
It's on the 10th. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Any for you, Johnny?
And this War of Mine. Sorry. I'm going to definitely play that.
Okay.
You haven't played this War of Mine? Or
a little tiny bit. It was on like I forgot what subscription thing it was on, and I didn't have the subscription anymore, so I didn't get to play it a long time. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed what I played, but now that it's going to come out on Game Pass, I'm for sure going to dig into it more. Plus, it's like the final cut, so.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. What about you, Johnny? Any on there?
What about that Paw Patrol game? Tell me about that, Reg.
The movie game?
How many hours can I get?
Tell me about the Paw Patrol.
How long to beat? Yeah.
It'd be like a Barbie game.
It rings a bell, but I don't know if we've looked at it or mentioned it before.
I haven't heard of it. There's a lot of
Citizen Sleeper looks pretty fucking cool.
Got great ratings, too. Yeah.
What kind of deal is it? What kind of
game? Cyberpunk RPG, but a little bit like a Disco Elysium where it's more narrative-driven.
Oh, dude, okay. I am playing that shit.
Okay. And the reviews are really
It says role-playing in the ruins of interplanetary capitalism, and I love that.
If you guys look at like the write-ups.
I was a huge capitalist in Disco Elysium.
The write-ups are all like one of the best written games in years, one of the best.
Okay.
Like I was really surprised because I didn't even get contacted on it. I would have reviewed it. And it's a smaller company, so I guess maybe they didn't reach out. But
I've seen some previews for it that look good.
Yeah, and the reviews were just super high on that game.
Shit. I'll have to play it to just study it, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, true. Yeah, yeah true. It's
Yeah, dude, I've been trying to, like, get a game that is... I would, like, Google, what's, like, Disco Elysium? I want something like Disco Elysium for, like,
You've
a
already
year
played the best.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and also, like, that game came about in a way that most... You know how you do get that occasionally where you get a game or a movie made where it can't really be made in the same way by anybody else because of what... That was an RPG group's
yeah, like
RPG Blazing for Saddles. 20 years.
Yeah, so I mean, like, their world was very unique.
Yeah, it's almost... And not only that, but they had... 20 as somebody who has a 16-year D&D game, I can tell you the amount of lore is beyond any novel series ever. Like because there's so many people involved in it, so many things being done and written, building out. What they made, they were able to make everything wrap around. Even if you didn't like it, like it's you can still look at it and be like, I get.
I mean, amen. Any game that has a dude called Pissfucker teaching me about like some philosophical fucking dude, that was amazing.
I died from reading a book. It was like your brain can't handle this. I was just
died
like,
from taking my tie.
Everybody died from the tie, I think, or most of us did. The shoe, trying to get the shoe.
No, I died sitting down on the first chair somewhere.
Dude,
kicking a trash can.
Kicking a trash can. And the thing is you can see where it would piss people off. I can see. Like, I absolutely can see people playing this and being like,
And, yeah, it just has really neat ideas.
Yeah,
like if you level up Encyclopedia too much, you start getting information that you don't need. It's like, why are you telling me about the shoe, dude?
Right, and where it said if you level up any of them, it will overpower. Like it's where it's on purpose.
Like too empathetic.
Have you ever
had
a friend come over who knows a lot about one thing, and you're like, oh my god? Or have you ever talked to Silver for 5 minutes? If you've ever talked to Silver for 5 minutes, you know exactly where I'm coming from. We're talking
Stop
about
talking
World
about
War II,
beer
and you're like,
or
you're,
brewing beer. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like World War II. I don't want to talk to you. Those kind of things make sense in a game, but it's almost extra, so you can't do it. Like you're asking people to like over on purpose, which is rare. Those guys already had it, so it was like we can do this. And it'll be interesting to see what the second one was. I love that game. I thought there were some parts that it had issues with. But
Everyone kept saying play Planescape Torment because it's the most similar, but I haven't really played it.
I love Planescape Torment, but this is what reminds me when people told me to watch that TV show Severance because it's like the game Control, and it is not at all. It's because it's the same, it's cubicles.
Yeah, they're quite different.
It's like there's cubicles in both things. It's like, come on, guys.
They're both heavily sort of reliant on literary exposition.
Yeah.
That's sort of the crossover.
That is like, oh man, I was so mad. And that happens a lot. Instead, let it sit on its own. Let it sit on its own and be like, this is succeeding not because it's like, it's because its own, it is its own thing. And
we just need the Matrix thing to wipe my memory and play it again.
Disco?
That, you know.
Well, Disco, dude, I played Disco twice because I had it for a long time for review, and I played it and reviewed it again because of the video audio.
The voice acting is so
And the
bad.
Voice
when
acting.
I first played it was
they,
when the audio
oh,
came out.
Oh, did you?
Already.
They
so
nailed
I played
the voice
it the original.
Acting.
I was waiting. I was like, this will be a good game on Switch at some point.
Bro, the narrator?
But
the narrator was some random, like, I think a Rasta singer or like a reggae singer. And he just nailed the narrator. He nailed it, man. Yeah. Like with the new
so
one.
Good. It adds so much to it. Like the writing itself is already so good. But then when you hear it, it's just.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
With the different accents, some French, some English.
I'm glad we got it, too, because that makes another developer maybe look and say, well, this can work. You know, I mean, we may have to do it verbal only and then voice if it does well.
Yeah, I mean,
or whatever.
I think that's one of the most interesting things, I think, about the gaming market today, because so many of these barriers that were entrenched in, like, I don't know, like corporate perception or whatever of what's going to be popular. Like you have a game, like one of the most popular games on Switch is Escape from Tarkov, which is a really, really, really hardcore sort of
it's a great game.
Niche game, but has a huge audience. Where like 5 years ago, like nobody in the large mainstream gaming industry would have said that game's going to hit it big.
Right.
True.
They would have all said no. The audience for that game is way, way, way too narrow.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's the one I only found because of streamers. Again, I probably never would have known about it otherwise.
Right.
I was there from like a pre-alpha because I saw a cool trailer. Yeah. I love that game. I think it's the best first-person shooter out there.
And I think the market consistently over these past few years has sort of upturned expectations for a lot of games in a way that's really made it much less predictable what's going to be a success and what's not, which has sort of opened the doors, I think, for a lot more variety in terms of ideas out there for what's possible for games.
Well, and EA were the ones who said there were no single player, right?
Yeah, right.
And later were like, we were wrong. I mean, but it was a stupid thing to say in the first place. It was like...
And 15 years ago when you had everybody saying PC is dead.
Oh, true. Well, remember, and they go in cycles. RTS was dead for a while in the fact that it just wasn't grabbing on. 2D, or I would say 3D fighters are not as big as they used to be. But it doesn't mean that a new virtual fighter wouldn't light that up or some, and Injustice certainly tried.
And you got resurgence of like 2D games now, especially Xbox Arcade.
Yeah. Again, going back to Unreal, if people continue to share, like I was joking about in the video, but we are like an AI with Unreal because the community is there and able to tell each other. And so they learn, it's beyond, I like Unity and I like these others for other reasons, but I like Unreal because it is like AI, man. The amount of deep learning, and aggressively antagonistic, but not mean deep learning. Meaning, if you do something, somebody will can look at a blueprint in Unreal and say, we can do it. There's a way to do exactly what you're doing, but we can get some CPU cycles by doing it this way. And that person can go a week later, can go, what? And they, and the Ascent guys were talking about that. They were like, you just don't understand how it, every single person looking at your stuff can go blueprint, but they adjusted whatever Reg was saying, C plus or C sharp. What are they using for programming for Unreal blueprints, Reg?
C++.
Yeah. If they know that, they can go, okay, we can use a blueprint or we can do this. Well, blueprint gets you this, but if we do this, we can, and suddenly, man, you, that influx. And then some dude like myself who wants to make a game can fucking gray box it at the very minimum in such a short amount of time. And, or even when I want, I'm doing a video on AI and I was like, I could gray box my example like in 5 minutes. Cause I already know I could have done that in Blender, but but you can do it in a game engine and walk somebody through and say, here's why verticality matters. Because I'm always talking about verticality, and it does matter in games like Dark Souls, where you're twisting up something, you look down and you're like, the achievement is not just killing the guy, it's being on top and looking down at what you've
and
covered.
It's banging into the movie
and it's banging off industry, on movies. Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but multiple music videos now are using Unreal for crazy shit. And ignore Unreal, if some other company makes theirs as robust, that competition is there. And it unlocks some people do not re, I'm not talking like out my ass. It is every single developer, even ones not using it, are like, this is what everybody is hoping for, is that engines that can do a lot of things very well, and that communication is easier. The Telltale guys have consistently talked about their old engine and how difficult 6 hours to do an animation that took 6 minutes in Unreal. Like, how is that worthwhile? It is not. Even if you have data and knowledge, you could have used 5 of those hours to learn how to do it in Unreal, and you would still be ahead because the next animation you did would not take 6 hours. Like, what are we doing? And I can't wait, man. Can't wait. It's so fucking exciting. Speaking of that, what's for Ubisoft for Odyssey? Which engine is that, Jordan? Is that Snowdrop?
Oh God.
Which one? What does Odyssey use?
I totally forget.
Is it Snow? Not Snowdrop. Somebody'll know in chat. But do you ever do you ever get involved in those kind of discussions?
Sorry, I'll be right back.
No. They use what they use. If they're gonna upgrade, they'll upgrade. But it doesn't affect us at all.
Anvil, thank you, Anvil.
Oh yes, duh, yeah.
Because I have noticed some of these engines are great. Was what I was actually going to bring up. Mm. Like the idea of moving an Assassin's Creed to Unreal doesn't make as much sense as the idea of moving Telltale, who've had particular difficulties,
right?
You know, jumping over and it's dude, it's so exciting. Like I can't wait for the future to see what people can do. Did you guys, I don't know if you guys saw, we're going to talk, fuck, I should shut up about it, but I'm so excited about it because I just saw somebody doing something in VR and Unreal in like 3 minutes. They were like, dude, cause I'm a VR fan, got every headset, and they were like, we can bang these out now, and we can make the 2D flat version and the VR version almost side by side. And damn, that to me is where we've needed to be for a long time. You know, it's like where VR can take off. Cause I don't know if you have VR, Jordan, but
I got like the Rift S a while back, PSVR. I'm stoked for the PSVR too, just because of the upgrades they're doing to it. Actually look fucking crazy. So like I'm getting that day one, 100%.
And PSVR was one of the most comfortable headsets.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so they did, I do think their technology was hampered by Move and a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
So this jump, yeah, and especially if they figure out some ways to, you know, get some interpolation in there, people don't notice, get their frame rates the way it should be.
Yeah.
It's just exciting to see this kind of stuff come to game dev. So let's see, moving on from there, Reg.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Blizzard mobile game announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Warcraft Arclight Rumble. Is that not a card game, or is that a League of Legends game?
Clash Royale.
What is it?
It's what is the closest game? They basically went Flash for the most popular game and doing it in the Warcraft universe. They call it a battle of a tower offense game, but not, no.
It's Clash Royale. It's
the made-up term. Yeah.
And
yeah,
so,
it's Clash Royale.
So let me get this. Let me get something right about their mobile ideas. This is a mobile game, not coming to desktop. But Diablo was a mobile game and is coming to desktop?
I think this one also might be coming to desktop because it's said, I think, register on Battle.net as well.
Okay. Okay. And they could figure it out if they want. So why was this a big deal? Is like, why did it get announced?
Because they teased like a week before, hey, we're doing a new mobile game where it's launching the trailer on the, what was it, the 5th or the 4th or something.
And it looks like Warcraft? Like, it's got that Warcraft, I don't know how to describe it.
No, it's very, very, very highly stylized, comical, but not in the Warcraft style.
It's literally Clash Royale reskinned with Warcraft characters.
You really think that? You said that multiple times. You really think that?
Yes,
that
it is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. All right. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying you're not stuck on that. That really is what it is. Okay.
It is. That's what it is. Yeah.
So Diablo, my question is there a Diablo 4?
Yes.
Yes.
And is that just desktop?
Yes.
And that's...
Well, and console, I think, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, out.
Console as well, yeah.
Where is it?
Well, next year or so,
next year.
Maybe?
Diablo, really? Diablo Immortals.
I said maybe. Okay.
Diablo Immortals is the mobile one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is coming out prior to Diablo 4.
Supposedly.
I'm just a little confused about what they're... Well, everybody is, apparently. Like, you got a phone, right? We saw the first thing I saw in chat.
Oh, yeah. Is this a out-of-season April Fool's joke? April Fool's joke, yeah. That was, like, the thing that was, like, the huge thing that was, oh, you guys are doing a mobile game, and everyone, like, was up in arms and shit before they announced Diablo 4.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I just, I like the idea of them. I actually like World of Warcraft's art. I don't know how to describe it. Big comical.
Stylized.
But what's this closest to style-wise then? Is it more
Clash?
I don't know that game. Can you mention a game with animation that's not looking like that? Is there?
Well, it is one of the biggest mobile titles. So
no, I don't do. Yeah, but I don't do those. Is there? But I'm saying, is there an anime that sort of looks like it? Mm. Like, is it like skinny guys, big guys?
I know a game that looks like.
Shut up.
Okay, sorry, I'm done.
You really don't. There's really no other game besides Clash.
I mean, like you can say League of Legends in some way, but like a mobile version of it. It's like a MOBA looking thing.
Yeah, like an uglier version of it, maybe.
You know.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, this isn't selling it well to me, guys. I'm just saying. If you guys were their PR, if you guys were their PR, you'd be fired right away.
Fire.
Yeah, but no, Diablo 4 though looks promising. It looks like they're going back to like this dark, you know, D2 atmosphere, which hopefully
all this guys under Microsoft.
Yes, isn't
that weird.
True.
We live in a weird world, guys, because at different times Microsoft hasn't had any really good first person, and they've had good first person, then they have good third, but no third first. They didn't buy anybody. Now they've bought everybody. Not everybody, but they've got. And it's so weird whenever you guys talk about these. I'm just so blown away that it's all under. Like, it's mind-numbing, like, how big Microsoft is now. It's mind-numbing. And I love that they're not. None of this sounds like it's restricted, right? None of it's exclusive. I mean, phones, obviously not. But, I mean, if something comes out on Xbox, I assume it'll be on PS4 or 5. They do a console version.
Yeah, dude, Diablo was way more enjoyable on console for me with like friends on the couch.
Dude, ooh, Diablo 3 was so ace. Yes. I really
we stayed
like
up
that.
For 30 hours, beat the whole game, and did rifts in one sitting.
Wow,
it was a good time.
That it has to be, unless you were just sadist like I was when I did No Man's Sky for 24 hours.
No, it was great. It was good.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's exciting times to see all of these games come out, but it's just weird. Go ahead.
The Microsoft acquisition, some headline I saw today was that New York City is suing them
Activision?
Over the acquisition.
I think they're suing over the acquisition because they're going after Bobby, right?
They claimed that the Microsoft deal undervalues the company and that the CEO was unfit to negotiate a sale.
How do you... I mean... So an outside entity is saying that the inside group was unfit.
New York Employees Retirement System is apparently the institution.
Here's the thing. I think one thing we're getting a sort of an eye-opening experience in is that anybody can sue anyone.
I mean, didn't this one person sue
Walmart
for tripping on her own child?
The pension system, yeah.
Okay. They are a pension system. They have Activision stock, so they're basically suing that they sold too low.
Got it.
I mean, the rumors that we now have heard is that they were shopped a couple places and the price kept going up. So it's going to be really hard for them to prove that. It doesn't matter. It's just like ignoring the sue thing. Yeah, whatever. It is what it is. The games are more important to me. That's just, hopefully the games and the people who are working for them continue to make games, get employed. That's all I care about. I'm really excited to see Activision try some other stuff too, which they might be able to do. I think that'll be great to see. But all of this kind of busy business stuff, the suing stuff, it just sucks.
Yeah.
Let them work it out. I was just surprised when we were starting to talk about this, how many companies are under one.
True.
And Sony doing the same thing, because Sony bought Bungie, which was surprising.
It's hard to keep up. It's like every week there's a new acquisition now.
Yeah, and some games developers like use different publishers, like Sekiro was Activision, which was...
Well, remember like Compulsion released under Gearbox Publishing, I think, when they did this... The pantomime-looking, the mime-looking game that didn't do too well. With
the black and white?
No, where you took the bright, you took the drug and you walked around.
We Happy Few.
We Happy Few.
Yeah. Oh, that one.
I believe that was Compulsion Games. And they had been bought after the agreement for publishing, so they still published under, it was them or 505. So you definitely get, you know, some mix-ups here. Going to be interesting to see how it all comes together. What would you guys rather have? Companies going defunct because no one buys them, or acquisitions? No, I think we've been clear on
that. Yeah.
I mean, I was clear on that. I literally just said, thought.
Yeah.
Did I? Okay. Yeah. I think one of the things we will start to see is a competition where Nintendo finally starts releasing some games.
They don't need to. They sell that hardware anyway.
I know, but come on, man. They got many IPs. It's time.
They did also release Kirby.
That's true.
Did anybody care?
No. Yeah.
Who released Kirby?
Nintendo did.
Let's do a new Mario, man. Do it. We got Raven Rabbids coming. One of the best games ever made. We got the sequel to that. That game was unbelievable. So it'll be cool to see that. Do you get a chance to play games, Jordan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's literally all I do when I'm finished work. I'm just like, okay, now I'm gaming. Like,
so you are okay. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. You're okay. You work. You come. Do you think if you were a programmer, that would be different? Do you think there's something about being a writer where it's okay?
Yeah, I think if I was like quest design or level design, it was like seeing game type stuff all the time, then yeah, it may be a bit differently. But I think it's because for the most part, I'm just looking at a page in words that I can still go and enjoy. Though... It has lost some of the games. You'll like hear the writing, or like you'll be reading it and you'll in your head be like, oh, I wonder why they did that. Or like, I would have done this, or like, you know, just like kind of analyzing it too much, which can, you know, take a bit away from it. But
What about games you've written? Do you like to play those?
God, no. I don't like to see my own writing after it's out.
Oh,
like,
really?
I look back at my old stuff and I'm just like, this is trash. Like, it's so bad.
Is it cringe for you? Like,
it's not that it's cringe. It's more just like, writers. Yeah, you see all the things that you wish you would have done differently or could have had the time to, or like, it's good in a way because you look back, and if you look and see that your stuff is bad to you now, it means that you've become a better writer. If you look back at your old stuff and you're like, oh yeah, it's
always
amazing.
Always
odds
trash.
You didn't grow.
It's funny because that's the same way in like, you know, like in the IT developer space, all of us, when we look at our old code, we have the same reaction, like, don't show me that. I don't want to see.
Yep.
Yeah.
Reg is like, I just copy my old code into my new code. I don't think. No.
No.
You're not John Carmack in it with Facebook? You're full on.
No, it's exactly what Charlie said. Like, if you see some older stuff, especially if you haven't actively worked on it for some time and you have to go back to fix something, you're like, dude, how did
the readability?
How did I do this?
Why the readability talking? Would be all over the place. It'd be hella unorganized and like you like use 10 lines of code that right now you can use like one for, and it's just like, dude, what the fuck was I doing?
I think a lot of people who create just don't want to see their stuff. I mean, like, unless you're Edward Norton, you know, who probably watches his own shit.
Smell your own farts.
Yeah. By the way, I like his stuff, but, you know, I mean, I think he knows, obviously.
It's well known he has a personality.
He's a bit of an ego. But it's like Johnny Depp was always saying that, where he's like, he couldn't even remember some of the movies.
Couldn't watch his stuff, right?
No, there's movies he legit couldn't remember. And people tease Gwyneth Paltrow for the Marvel movies because she's always like, I wasn't in that. And they're like, no, you were. And she's like, listen, they were filming 7 movies all mixing in. So it's like that footage, I may not have known exactly. But I think a lot of people are just like, dude, creatives especially, it's like, I don't really want to see my own stuff. And if I do, I want to do it for a thought process to fix new stuff.
I can respect it. You put it out in the world, you're done with it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you spent so much time on it already, right? Like, you spent days and months and years on this sort of shit. And it's like, that's why I can't play it anymore. Cause like, I saw the sausage was made. And also, I've just spent so much of my life already working on whatever that it's like, I can't anymore. Like, I need to do something else.
I can be very serious for what I'm working on and then not take it seriously afterwards. And so, a lot of people get mad at me when I say, like, I just don't care. About people fighting over reviews, somebody be like, well, Carrick says it's this and IGN says this. And I'm like, listen, guys, I just don't really care. Like, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. I've had people, reviewers, just be like, how dare you? You must stand the top of the mountain. And I'm like, dude, why? Like, why? It's done. You can't go back. It's done. It's out. It's done. There's nothing. You can be like, this is what I thought. This is what the other person thought. We're fucking done. I'm moving on to the next thing because what are we going to do? We're just going to sit there. That's religion.
Yeah.
That's not me. That's not a game review. That's getting fucking weird at that point. At that point, you're just starting to get into you need to go out and touch grass. Phil Yarn says, Reg's bangs and Carrick's beard. Plus.
Oh, that's
a plus for the beard and the bangs. Now, what if it was all at the same time? That'd be too much sexy on one podcast.
Wait, you need to do one of those Dragon Ball fusions.
Oh yeah.
And like fuse.
Let's do questions. Wait a minute. We missed two things, actually. We'll do updates. Independent games, and then we'll do questions, and we'll let Jordan.
Yeah, I'll go pretty fast.
Okay.
Rogue Legacy 2 got a bunch of quality of life improvements and game balancing. They also did a thing. Thank fuck they did that, which is like a flick stick check. Because sometimes if you flick your joystick too much, it like if you go like back to center, it'll face your character to the opposite side, and you don't want him to do that. So they implemented a thing that will catch that, where they increase the dead zone for a little bit.
Okay.
No Man's Sky got a bunch of bug fixes. Dead by Daylight got a bunch of bug fixes. EVE Online announced that you'll be able to transport in-game data directly into Excel, which was a huge deal for people. Because there's a bunch of spreadsheets and shit.
Oh, I know.
You know, fucking nerds.
It is a spreadsheet. Weird...
I love it.
Yeah. Weird West 1.02 is live with new features, new content, and bug fixes. I talked about it a bit... the other week, but you can now one-shot lethal stealth takedown, so you can use your melee weapon and actually just one-shot people with a stealth takedown rather than having to take them down and then killing them, which I always did. And then you can use blunt weapons for non-lethal, just whack them in the head. There's a new projectile aiming system. Now you can aim the actual projectiles you pick up in the world, because you couldn't do that before.
Yeah,
so if
correct,
you pick up like
yeah.
a yeah posse inventory UI overhaul. New travel encounters and new scenarios for existing locations. And now everyone that has a standard edition of Dying Light 1 will auto upgrade to enhanced edition. So you'll get the expansion and stuff. The Stanley Parable is getting a huge VR mod, which is like officially they're announcing it and showing it. Yeah. New Path of Exile League called Sentinel. And Northgard Sword and Solace, which is a new expansion for Northgard that I think released today. And they basically updated a bunch of multiplayer stuff. There's a new military path that you can go with, new tower and abilities, and reworks to existing clans, and more.
Damn, a lot of games got updated. Silver, independent game.
Well, sadly, I didn't really get the chance to play much of anything. So our indie game of the week is one I haven't really had the chance to play yet. But I will. I did play the first one. It's Rogue Legacy 2. Of course, the first Rogue Legacy was, along with Spelunky, one of the games that sort of opened the floodgates for the roguelite 2D games. Very good game back in the day. The sequel looks to be, I've watched people play it, I've read and watched reviews. It looks to be more the same with a couple of really, really nice looking refinements, a lot more classes, a really interesting progression system that you can carry over from between runs, and a lot more biomes. The original game had like four biomes from what I remember. Mm. And this next one has a lot more, and it has like, for classes, I think I read it has like 50 classes now.
Which that's is a lot.
A lot. Wow. Yeah.
Holy shit.
They all play very differently. Which
and so, and then you couple that with like the different personality traits you get for each new generation. Like there's a lot of variety there for every single run. Every single run is going to be different. And yeah, the controls, from what I hear, have been tightened a lot. So it feels a lot better to play. I felt the first one already felt pretty good. So really looking forward to that. Like the first one, I really, really enjoyed. I expect I will really, really enjoy the second one. I recommend people take a look at it. It's about $20 or so. It's currently 20% off on Steam. For the launch, so take a look at it, see if it takes your fancy. It looks really, really fun, and yeah. Guys here have played it, so
super
they can speak to more to it than I can.
Yeah, it's shaping up to be one of my top five. Yeah, it's shaping up to be one of my top five roguelikes.
Sure. Oh yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. 2D fully.
2D.
Yeah, fully 2D. Yeah, well, you have your character is 3D.
There's a lot of platforming sections and puzzle sections. Some of the platforming sections reminds me of Celeste in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it has Metroidvania elements where you go and you find like an upgrade, a permanent upgrade, and now you can go to like an area that you couldn't before.
Right. Like yeah. That's one of the differences from what I gather, because the first one was completely open, like you go to any biome at any time, whereas this one sections them off. With upgrades like Metroid, where you need a specific like piece of equipment to get to that biome or whatnot.
Yeah.
So this was
so there's a sort of more linear progression in that way.
This was early access and then full. Is that?
Yeah, it's full release now. Yeah.
Huh. Came out last week. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people talking about it. You know, those games aren't necessarily always my thing. Is a bit like Dead Souls then?
It's a bit like what's the other one? Dead. Was it that Hollow? Souls? It was called what was that roguelike?
Hollow Knight?
No. There was another roguelike that came out. It was like a 2D roguelike. Dead Cells.
Oh. Dead Cells.
It's a lot like Dead Cells.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Dead Cells.
But way more variation because the classes and all the little like
way more
the amount of classes in this one blows me away.
And harder.
Like every time I play, it's like a new class. I got like a chef.
Nice. And more platforming, right?
Yeah. And the cool thing is that every time you select a new character, like a new ear, they can come with traits. So the world would be like upside down. You get black and white. You get like a dude who's allergic to, or he's a vegan, so meat would kill you. And that's like the primary way of healing.
Yeah. I got one where every time you dash, your character just farts. It doesn't do anything, but you just fart.
But that's the IBS, the area of the bowel syndrome. That was in the first one as well. Weapons now. In the first Rogue Legacy, you only had had the sword. So even like the mage would run around with a sword. But you have
all the classes play so different.
The chef class that Jordan mentioned has like the pan as a weapon.
Oh yeah, like you'd go from swords to like, for example, the bard, where you have to send out musical notes, and the way to damage people is by bouncing on the musical notes.
What? I haven't gotten that one yet. That's
yeah,
so cool.
It's there's some crazy.
I just got
shit,
the boxer, which is awesome because he's
awesome.
He can like stay midair and just punch people.
Yeah,
bunch,
you just
and then
punch,
use
punch,
your
punch.
Ability to do like a big like.
Can you
attack?
Pick
it's
the
so
same
good.
Class again? When you die,
it gives
or
you a
give
choice
you
of three each time
that are taken you can, from your database
of the ones you've unlocked. Yeah.
Yes, and you can unlock an upgrade that allows you to reroll them if you don't like what you see.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of
coming out that's sort of like that as well. There's a lot of big games like that coming out. Yeah, I haven't checked it out. I'll look at it. I'm not in the mood for it, but. Yeah. I definitely like the idea of getting different classes, have a change in the world around you, which is why I liked Void Bastards a little.
Yes, it reminded me of Void Bastards.
Yeah, that's like, what you had said, was that, and that got my attention because I was a big fan
of
Void Bastards.
Mm.
How it changes.
That That's a pretty decent comparison, yeah.
And lastly, but not leastly, questions. Any Discord questions we got?
We actually have no questions today, but are you ready, Carrick, for...
Oh my God, the existential?
Existential.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Space.
Okay,
it
can't be too
wandery.
Weird. Okay, go for it.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, I'm ready, for sure.
Okay. So there's this idea of a von Neumann probe. It's like a space, almost sci-fi, but it's technically possible kind of thing, where you create a simple machine that can mine materials and 3D print a copy of itself, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the thinking is that it duplicates, and it all of a sudden the whole galaxy is filled with these machines.
Right.
But imagine that you had to seed the first machine with the consciousness of someone currently alive. You, Carrick, and all the
all
other
us,
people
right.
too,
the
all
other
of
people.
You can choose one person currently alive in the world, and that would seed those machines. So as a result, the whole galaxy would be teeming with machines that all have this personality.
That one personality. All right. Well, that removes Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's too egotistical.
Oh!
Could already be. I
love
it.
We have
it,
enough with one.
Peter Molyneux.
Oh, my God. Wow. Peter Molyneux turned it into a microtransaction. One.
I feel like we need Bill Burr. Just a galaxy team with Bill Burr ranting.
Don't go to Earth,
shit.
Guys. Don't go to Earth. Have you tried to drive to California and what? You can't do it.
Yeah.
One current living.
Yeah.
Amber Heard. I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow.
It's very topical. Wow.
It's too, what do you call it? Too fresh. It's too fresh in
too
mind.
Fresh.
One.
Everyone trying to cry. Sorry.
The one that keeps popping up to me, sadly, is no longer available because he passed away this year. So, but
which one?
Desmond Tutu, because just his laughter,
oh, man.
is like one of the best sounds in the world. One of the best sounds in the world, like just complete abandon, without any abandon. One of the most joyous things I've ever heard, and having like billions and billions of those sort of echo out
right.
could be neat. But yeah, sadly, he passed away this year.
I like this,
Jordan,
because
what about?
Oh, go ahead,
yeah,
go ahead, Jordan. No, go for it, Jordan. Do you have one?
I mean, it's probably just because I've been like wanting to watch this movie recently, but just the name that first came to mind was Robert Pattinson because I love him.
Oh, gotcha.
All his interviews, he's just so fucking great. He's just I would be totally fine if the universe had a shit ton of Robert Pattinsons.
Nice.
I don't even, man, because I would want somebody like, I mean, you could do Elon, but I think that's a go-to answer. That I think a big
he would get shit done, wouldn't he?
He would get shit
done. Find a way to.
Is he near the other drones?
He troll himself. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine two Elons? I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Somebody said Jeff Goldblum, Justin Bieber. I mean, Justin Bieber's a nice guy. Dude, that's a hard question because I don't know any, like, other than like a Neil deGrasse.
I mean, Mark Zuckerberg is always already a robot, so.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know. I have no.
So hard because it's just anyone alive. It's so hard.
And I like the idea because you would have to get somebody who's alive. Like if you came up with the technology today and we're like, dude, we can't put two technology. It'll fuck up. We have to get one person. There's probably some scientist who runs, you know, NASA that I would probably.
I feel like someone who could get shit done, you know, and like. Yeah, that would be maybe.
I mean,
my
theoretically,
guess.
You could probably like develop an AI to like mirror somebody.
Yeah, but like the fun of the question is to think of a real person, you know. Like, but you're right. Like,
I mean, the honest truth is, this is I'm gonna go with this. It's only because he has turned into what he played and is. But I would have no issue. I would have no issue.
The Rock.
No, I was thinking about this. William Shatner.
Yeah, I thought I read you.
William Shatner. Because William Shatner wanted to go to space. He played in space. He got to go to space. He shit posts on Twitter. But he does have a fascination with the thing that caused us to be fascinated with that thing. If you're my age, where you did watch him in space and you watch. And I mean, looking at all these other people and stuff, he's the one that I would see. He's artistic, whether you like his rap or his music songs or
Mia
whatever.
Khalifa, Carrick, all caps.
So. I actually would be a porn star. I actually. Oh, gotcha. I actually do. I believe he would be a good, like, he would be the one who'd be like amazed when he saw aliens, would be like wanting wanting us to do stuff. He has turned into what I expect. He's curious,
Right? He'd be like, well,
and he's
what's there,
90 or 190, however old he is. He's curious at an age where most people are dead.
He could keep it interesting for 10,000 years exploring.
Can you imagine as they all return just singing songs and doing raps in William Shatner's voice? And you'd be like, oh,
ooh, in that case, David Attenborough.
Hey, whoa. Oh, David Attenborough.
I would do him just so he can narrate everything.
Sorry, my dogs are barking. That's actually, David Attenborough is a very good choice. Yep. I hadn't even thought about that. It was a very good choice. And cognizant of what's going on Earth. Yeah. Mark Hamill, somebody said. Mark Hamill just doesn't interest me.
He's not interested in anything else anymore anyways.
He isn't. That'll be it for us. I want to unless anybody else has another one before we go.
I have a shout out I'd like to make to another new YouTube channel.
Shout it out.
Not gaming related, but I do think it's one of the best channels on YouTube, and I would really like people to check it out. It's called Invisible People. It's run by a former homeless American who has taken it upon himself to sort of travel the world and interview homeless people all over the world.
I think sort of chronicle
their stories essentially, and advocate homeless causes. So you get stories from everybody from a drug addict who's been on the street since he was 8 to millionaires who lost everything and ended up on the street. They're really, really compelling stories, and show you that any one of us could fall to homelessness at any point.
Wow.
But yeah, there definitely recommend people check it out.
All right.
It's really good.
I will. That sounds interesting, man.
I think I've seen his content before. It's really, really interesting. It's really cool.
If everybody gets a chance, make sure to follow Jordan. He'll be not only in the description, Jordan Anomaly. Jordan Anomaly.
There you go. Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. Jordan Anomaly.
on Twitter. He'll be putting out some stuff soon as well. Well, not soon, but in games. You'll see him working
in the future.
In, games. In the future. But I want to say how much I appreciate you joining and coming in. It's been a blast. It's been awesome.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. We could do this for another 6 hours and that'd be good.
Dude, it's not only that, but it's like those are six or seven impressively fresh perspectives from a writer in games that we haven't talked about before, which does change a lot of my thought processes, which is always good.
Sweet.
It's been fantastic. Cool. You guys, if you are listening, thank you for listening. If you're watching, thank you for watching. As you guys know, this will go up on iTunes and Spotify either later today or tomorrow, depending on how YouTube handles it. Thanks again to him. Thanks to you guys. Peace out and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Oh, wait. Bye. No, care, no. Johnny, are you streaming tomorrow?
Yes, always.
What are you going to stream?
Some Final Fantasy 14.
Final Fantasy 14, Johnny Plays Live. Peace out. Whoops, I almost hit end meeting. See?
Not again.
End stream. Boom.